about so easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
Oh, hello there. Today, children, I'd like to demonstrate some different styles of vocal scratching. To begin with, we'll need a beat.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
If you're like most people, you look in the mirror and say, oh my God, what a disgusting face. What kind of a nose is that? Is that a chin? Or did someone just barf all over my face?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
How many other planets have cartoon dogs named after them? Like Pluto should be up there. I was always taught 9 planets. We go Uranus, we go Neptune, we go Pluto, and that's where the universe ends. And a couple of years ago, you're just going to take that away from me? My childhood, everything I know about science, and then you just ruin that.
You are a white Rodney King, a hero.
And now,
haters gonna hate.
Sorry, I'm sorry, I didn't see you there. I was too busy blocking out the haters.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday morning, the 27th of March.
What's up, you guys?
You know, hanging and banging like we do.
Chilling like a villain.
Right?
We survived Las Vegas.
Sure.
We did.
We're back on the radio, intact,
some
alive.
Of us. Some sure.
Of us,
right?
Some of us,
not
yes.
All.
All heads are not accounted for yet, right?
Mm-mm.
I did see Muggs do the marine crawl in here with some paperwork, though.
Okay.
So I think his body is technically here.
Muggs still looked rough.
Yeah.
I don't think he was a marine, though. I think it might have been a Navy SEAL.
That's what he told us. He did tell us. Were you part of that conversation, Kevin?
Yeah, but I completely forgot about that. That's insanity.
Oh, we'll talk about that later.
Muggs... The way he planned out his weekend was insane.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, we will discuss. Dave or Christine, are either of them accounted for yet?
Present.
Okay, Dave's here now. Good.
Dave walked in the last 15 seconds. All
Christine's
right.
Here.
They
excellent.
Both arrived right about the time the show started. Right. All right.
Ralph. Very impressive.
No, he's he called in sick.
Oh.
He had a big weekend in Vegas. Oh, no. He was on vacation all week. Okay. Right.
Well, you need a day to recover from
you
a vacation.
Do.
Come on. It's exhausting laying on a beach.
I'm the wrong guy to criticize that, so I'm just going to keep quiet over here in the corner.
Yeah, you got nothing to say to that. Well, anyway, we will press on. We do have a pretty good show planned for you today, but I want to start with this story. Kevin, you probably didn't see the controversy over the weekend, and why? Because you don't watch the news because you're a kid. But, Allie, I want to get your take on Leggingsgate because it appears to be a thing that a lot of people are...
Did you say Leggingsgate?
Leggingsgate
sure.
Is the new.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not sure how I feel about this, but I think I am. But here's the story for folks who don't know. A traveler named Shannon Watts tweeted that 2 teenage girls were not allowed on a United Airlines flight flying from Denver to Minneapolis over the weekend because they were wearing leggings.
Okay.
All right, let that sink in.
Okay.
You see people in leggings all the time, everywhere, always, right?
Yeah.
There were actually 3 girls all wearing leggings. One of them had a dress in her carry-on luggage that she was able to put on over
the leggings. Was only wearing leggings?
Well,
leggings, now I can see.
No. What? You're not thinking leggings, what they actually are. Leggings, like yoga pants. Those
right.
are leggings.
Okay.
Right. So why would you have to put a dress over?
So she put it, yeah. I mean, nothing covers more skin than leggings, right?
Right.
So, yeah, she put a dress on and she was allowed on the plane, but the other 2 were not. They were turned away. So this flyer alerted the world to it and said, hey, you know, how are they able to, you know, decide what a woman can and can't wear?
That is odd.
So United tweeted that they have the right to refuse passengers who are not properly clothed via their contract of carriage. It is left up to the discretion of the agents. And in their contract of carriage, it says passengers who are barefoot or not properly clothed can be not allowed on a plane. And by the way, I feel like I see people barefoot all the time. Maybe they just take their shoes off when they get on the plane.
They don't get on barefoot.
Not properly dressed.
All the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And keep in mind, one of these girls was 10. 10 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
And by the way, I mean, there are so many more offensive things that people wear than leggings, if leggings are even to be put in that category.
They are by United, apparently. That's what
I mean. Well, there's a lot more to this story.
There's more to the story, yeah.
Okay.
I'll tell you what I'd ban if I could ban the one thing first would be tank tops. That's what I would ban.
What's wrong with you?
Some sweaty guy sitting next to you with his armpits out? I don't need that.
Okay. What about some pretty girl sitting next to you in a tank top?
Does she have her armpits out?
I believe they would be out as well.
Then he would not like that.
I don't know. Guys are sweatier and grosser with
okay,
the tank
so
tops.
Okay, so only guys. Okay.
Yeah, I'm willing to discriminate against guys.
Okay.
All right, so let's dive a little deeper. So here's what it turns out a United spokesman says, is that the two teens were not allowed on the flight because they were traveling using a United employee pass. Mm-hmm. In other words, I assume, Allie, you tell me if this is what you heard, are family members of United employees.
Family or friends. It's basically a standby pass. So
it's a standby pass, right.
You have a different set of rules.
But are you identified as...
Yeah, the airline knows that with your ticket that you are traveling courtesy of United because, you know, I don't know how this ever happens. I never get on a plane that has empty seats, but apparently there are enough empty seats where they can give one to a non-paying passenger. And they say that they have a different dress code than they do for passengers. If you are traveling on the company dime, for instance, they want you to dress up a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And I guess the reason they do that is so that you reflect well of the airline, mm-hmm. I suppose. That's the internal policy for employees. Now... is that okay then?
Absolutely. Yes.
I think so.
It is. And I've had to do it. I had a friend that was a flight attendant. And she gave me one of her passes. I believe at that time I had to wear like nylons, heels. Like it was
really?
Strict. And if you don't want to do it, you don't get the free seat.
You don't get the free
seat.
It's
very
exactly.
simple.
And that's why you don't even question it because, hey, free seat.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
But if you're some random lady in line that now thinks we're discriminating against 10-year-old children and then it goes viral, then it's a problem. However, United didn't handle it great on Twitter. That
oh, really?
Was their problem.
Oh, no.
They just started responding to people instead of saying this is the rule of this specific ticket.
Right.
They were like, we have the right to do it. And that started pissing people off. So
yeah.
I think it was just handled poorly online. And then celebrities have to get involved. Like,
sure.
I am never flying United again. Shut up.
There was already a boycott United movement going on.
Enough.
So the spokesperson for the airline says our regular passengers are not going to be denied boarding because they're wearing leggings or yoga pants. But when flying as a past traveler, we require those to follow rules, and this is one of those rules. Now, having said all that, are we at the point now, and I kind of feel like we are, that leggings are so common that they're not – you're not dressing down anymore when you're wearing leggings. You're just wearing what everybody else is wearing at this point. Are we not there yet? Are they still too informal for you, Allie, for people to wear on the street?
Wear leggings all day long.
Yeah. So
I don't even think of it that way. I don't think of it as dressed down at all.
So maybe United should update this policy and maybe not include leggings as something that would ban people from getting on a plane.
It does seem silly.
Leggings seems odd.
Yeah,
for sure.
I don't.
But
I'm surprised. I'm a little bit surprised. I mean,
it sounds like one of the rules that maybe they put in 20 years ago.
Exactly. Yeah, you could update them, but the fact that that is the rule to get a free flight, suck it up, put on whatever you have to wear for a free flight.
Right.
Well, I mean, I'll start wearing leggings if I can fly for free.
What if it's just a jock strap and a hat?
For a free flight, I'll
okay,
do it.
Just check it. All right. You can know where we're going. Where we're
down
the line.
I think we've settled it then.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
What is that, a riddle?
We are going to talk April Foolishness, the opening acts. We've got your top 10. Mm-hmm. You get to go online and vote.
There's some good ones.
There's some good ones, right?
Pretty good batch.
Very excited about this. Also, we've got your tickets for April Foolishness, and you can also now, are these – hold on. Hold.
Sidebar. Talk amongst yourselves.
I wouldn't know because they haven't sent me any of my paperwork yet because it's only 5:45.
Pre-party. Okay.
It's going
okay.
Well.
A pair of tickets in the Bigley section.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And tickets. Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness.
Does that mean party two?
Yes,
that's the pre-party.
Okay, fantastic.
Yes.
What about parking?
Hold on.
Yes, parking. Everything.
Everything, Kevin. He's saying
these are
everything.
The good ones.
These are the, he says they're good, the good ones.
I don't see the parking on
it's
here,
everything.
So
it is, trust me.
Can you hear someone else?
Yes,
I can't.
Oh, I can
oh,
you hear
can't.
You
oh,
can?
Okay. So it's everything you want. That's great. Also on the program today we have...
And I think a handy. Is that in there?
I don't think It's not in the headline.
Okay.
Dave, could we get a ruling on handy or not with the ticket?
No.
No handy. All right.
Harvey Levin from TMZ, like we do on Mondays. We're going to talk to Hank Azaria on the show today. And we've got your singles parties recap. It was quite a Friday night. Got to tell you, some good fun was had. On Friday night. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53. We've got your tickets for the Kevin and Bean singles party. We've got our singles party recap. We've got your tickets for April Foolishness coming up in the next hour. We're doing it.
Oh, no.
Need more time? Some more downtime in between?
I think
we do need a break. First, though, in for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat, we think, for one more day. Here's Emma Hit.
Guys, Beauty and the Beast.
Right?
Good Lord.
I didn't see the numbers this weekend. Last weekend was insane.
Last weekend was everything. Every dollar left available on Earth to spend.
Well, this weekend wasn't so bad either. Here's your top 10 at the box office. Beauty and the Beast, for the second week, they came in at $88.3 million. That's what I'm saying. For the second week. They're nearing the $700 million mark.
This was a success.
Right? I'll say it was a success.
That's crazy.
$88.3 million for the second week. Goodness. Followed by Saban's Power Rangers. That debuted at $40.5 million, which is huge.
45 would wipe anything out most weekends.
But we're like, oh, that's sad. Sad for you, Power Rangers. Kong Skull Island, $14.4 million, followed by Life, Logan, Get Out, coming in seventh at its debut with $7.6 million. Chips, followed by The Shack, the Lego Batman movie, and rounding out the top 10, The Belko Experiment. I'm saying, Chip, you finally saw that, right?
So good.
Right?
So much blood.
So much blood.
I have a question for Chip, if you don't mind, if we have a second.
Sure.
Did you get carded?
I did get carded.
Okay.
At the movie?
I did.
Oh, shit.
Chip, aren't you like 30?
Yep.
She's 49.
But you know what?
You could
always say, I don't have an ID. I'm not 16. And then they let you in. You get the kid rate all the time.
But not for our, you can't get in for our movies then.
Yeah, true. Rated R. That's the problem.
See, then you have to play this game. Listen, I'm going to have you guess my age. And depending how close to it, you either owe me popcorn and a drink or...
That's
a handy.
That's fantastic for the people behind you in line.
Yeah, make sure there's
really great.
You're at least five deep.
Yep.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Well, over the weekend, it was Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds' memorial. They had a public memorial, and it was streamed as well. I noticed a lot of the TV stations were carrying it on their websites as well. But they got to say a fond farewell, and Todd Fisher, which is Debbie Reynolds' son, Carrie's brother, told the crowd that his mother didn't like memorials or funerals and wanted everyone to feel as if we were just a big family in their living room. R2-D2 made an appearance.
Oh.
Which is lovely. And the Los Angeles Gay Men's Chorus sang True Colors. And Carrie's ex-fiancé, Dan Aykroyd, spoke about his former love and told a story about how he once saved her life while she nearly choked on a Brussels sprout.
Wow.
So Dan bringing the Brussels sprout chunk to life, which is good.
And was Mark Hamill there?
I don't have that in this paperwork. Mm-hmm. I hope he was, but if he wasn't, that's okay too. People are busy.
Yeah.
They got things.
Allie just wants everything to be right in the Star Wars world.
I really do.
This is really important.
Everything's fine. A new song by James Blunt was also played. For the first time, James Blunt. I don't get the connection, but from the beginning, when they were talking about this memorial, they were like, and James Blunt will sing a new song. Like, I don't understand that.
Maybe he was good friends with Carrie Fisher.
It's a weird way to debut a new song.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It certainly was. Hey, I didn't see this because we were a little busy, but the unveiling at Staples Center of the huge Shaquille O'Neal statue. Good-looking statue?
I haven't seen it.
Dang it. None
That's
of us
awesome.
Have seen it. Okay, Dave says it's awesome. Well, it is alongside the statues of Kobe and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. It's a 9-foot-long statue weighing 1,200 pounds, suspended 10 feet in the air and attached to the side of the arena.
Wow.
Yeah, so Jerry West, Kareem, Kobe all showed up for the unveiling and spoke at
Magic, not Kobe.
Really?
Magic Johnson.
Statues. You said statues, right?
What?
What?
It's happening.
It's early. Sorry.
Okay.
Shh. It said... No, I did say Staples Center alongside statues of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Kobe Bryant. Is that wrong?
Yes, that's wrong. Magic.
Good Lord. Can I just rip up all this paperwork?
I mean, yeah. What? What, Dave?
So that was right. Sorry. It's okay. Magic and Kareem and Wayne Gretzky, Jerry West.
Kobe doesn't have a statue?
Not yet.
Luke Robin
just retired last year.
Yeah. Well, he should still have one.
Why are we having a conversation like this with Dave?
We just got to be right, man.
Right.
We should be right. That's but why would we pay for a service that's correct?
Right.
Hey, Allie.
We don't pay for the service.
May I jump in with a PS on the James Blunt connection?
Yes.
They met at a party and became fast friends. He had just left the Army, had a record deal, was getting ready to move to L.A., and she said, you're going to need a place to stay. Why don't you come stay at my place?
Stop it.
And he lived with her and recorded all three of his albums while he was living at her house.
Okay,
it doesn't say that, Kevin. There's no indication that was what happened there.
No.
It's
Carrie Fisher.
Bean said that he lived at her house.
You do not sully Carrie Fisher.
Recorded albums, he said.
James Blunt recorded albums, Kevin.
Whenever he goes to Los Angeles, that's my home, he said about Carrie Fisher's house. He recorded one of his songs, in her bathroom.
I can't. Every time you're giving me something.
So they were very close friends. So now we're James Blunt. And the song that was debuted was a song that he wrote about her.
With Magic Johnson.
It doesn't say it.
No, it says it right here in this
paperwork.
Oh,
with
Kobe. Sorry.
Kobe sang it. Just to confuse everyone.
It's going to get better, right?
Nope.
Look, the show doesn't start until 6.
That's
all this is just warm up. We're not even on the air yet.
Okay, well, let me wrap it up then. All of these stars were born on March 27th. Director Quentin Tarantino, 54. Actress Polly Perrette is 48. Mariah Carey, 47. Actor Nathan Fillion, we love him. He's 46. Singer Fergie, 42. And Jessie J is 29. I'm Allie McKay in for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
I don't feel like this is going to be a good conversation.
Why? Everybody had a good time. Everybody survived. Everybody got home okay.
Sure.
Talking about the Kevin Bean singles party, which was Friday night in Las Vegas. I want to start by saying, because I'm involved in very few of the stories that you're about to tell.
Right.
That here's my contribution to this conversation. Thank you to the listeners who came. And you guys are awesome.
Yay.
Yes.
What a great, great batch of kids we had at the party. Didn't you think?
We had children?
You wouldn't know, but yeah, there were a few toddlers there.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, our listeners, that it was
we
do not interact with often in person, and it was really great to meet some of them and hear their stories and find out that they're that people are really out there and they're really listening and they like the show. And as I said multiple times on Friday night, hey, we wouldn't have a show if it weren't for you, the listeners. So thank you for that. We really appreciate it. It was really nice to meet most of you.
Being mingled successfully.
Sure did.
I tried to talk to everybody who was at the party. I tried to make my way around the room multiple times so that if there was anybody I hadn't seen or offered the opportunity to get a photo, if that's what they wanted, or just have a conversation, I did try to do that. I tried to put on my big boy party face.
I was really proud of you.
You have a big boy party face?
And when it was time to go, Allie, it was time to go, right?
When it was time to go, I was sitting talking to Aisa here at the station, and I see Bean just standing by himself with this look on his face, and I was like, oh, no, what happened? And he waves me over, like, come here, come here, come here. So I walk over to him, and I'm like, what's going on? And he goes, well, and he showed me his phone, pointed at the time, and I said, yeah, it's 11:01. And he goes, I can go, right?
Like, that's what that was about?
I mean, I thought something bad had happened. I'm like, yes, Bean, you could go. You did very good tonight. You really did. Good boy.
Look.
So that was it. But Bean, I got to say, very, very impressive showing for you. Very
Thank
impressive.
You. Bean is always that way. He complains for a couple of weeks leading up to it. Then he's perfectly fine and has a good time. And then he goes home and he's fine.
11:01
He was out.
I was trying to remember.
And by the way, he can't walk over to you and ask you that question. That's absurd. He's got to get you to come over to him.
I had to get up, move, leave my cocktail.
I was tired.
By the way, hold on. I just thought of something else. since when does Allie give you permission to go anywhere?
It was odd, but I respected it. And I thought, well, that was nice.
That was strange.
And what if I was like, nope, 12:07. That's your cut time.
Bean would have just gone back and started mingling.
Right.
Sometimes my party instincts are not on point because it's not my strong suit. So I felt like I would get a second opinion. Okay.
You did the right thing.
And I was trying to remember how many months it had been since I had seen 11 p.m. I mean, I really thought about that. I was trying to remember how long it had been. I'm not kidding. So when 11 o'clock came, I was ready.
Plus, New Orleans time, that was what, 1?
1 a.m. Thank you for noticing.
Right.
Still
You're
play
welcome.
That. So I was tired. Anyway, so that was my contribution to the party, but it sounds like I missed a lot.
Well, I mean, you did, because the party actually got started around 10. Where do we want to go from here? We want to start with Mugs?
Sure.
Start with Christine?
Let's talk about Mugs.
All right, Mugs.
How you guys doing?
Mugs,
that's my real voice. I'm not making
that. He had the best plan from the beginning. So Mugs, trying to explain to people exactly what happened.
Well, I got into town on Thursday with the listeners on the party bus, smashed.
By the way, I heard that Mugs was a fantastic host. Yep. You were on what, bus number three?
Bus number one.
And people loved being on Mugs'
but
bus.
But I couldn't have done it without the listeners on the bus. I mean, the minute I got on the bus, they were ready to go. Their goal was to get me and them the most hammered they can get anybody, and they did a fantastic job.
Right.
So we got there Thursday, stayed Friday. Because the singles party is Friday night, but I had to get back for a golf tournament on 7:30 in the morning on Saturday morning. So my plan was I stopped drinking when you guys talked to me Friday morning with my friend Bobby, my homeless friend Bobby,
right.
And my last beer was at 8. So I hadn't had a drink all the way from then to the singles party. And you guys were very concerned about me driving back to Los Angeles at 1:30 in the morning. Bean's like, Mugs, you can't do this. I said, don't worry, Bean. I'm a Navy SEAL. I got this under control.
Oh, jeez.
I'm going to make it.
So, Mugs, we all heard
Who's
what he said.
Who is less of a Navy SEAL than Mugs?
Right?
That's true. Mugs, you heard what he sounded like on the air on Friday morning. I mean, he was wrecked. He had got no sleep at all. And I was talking to him about it because I was legitimately concerned about him making this drive. Because let's face it, that is not a stimulating drive from Los Angeles.
No.
From Las Vegas to Los Angeles at night, right?
No.
It's nothing but black. So I said to Mugs, I said, you didn't get any sleep today. And he's like, no, I did. I slept for about 2 hours between 1 and 3 this afternoon. And
I said,
Mugs, that's just not enough.
Oh, no, for Mugs it is.
And he said, that's how the Navy SEALs do it.
Right.
And for him, that made perfect sense that he was as prepared as he needed to be to make that drive.
So then that night, we took away his keys and we said, you come up to us pretty much every half hour and give us what you're drinking. And it was club soda all night.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And we gave him back his keys. He was sober. And he drove back. And I'll be damned if he didn't make his charity tournament Saturday morning at 7:30.
Yeah.
Yeah. He texted the group at 6:30 to let us know that he'd gotten home
all
right.
That's insane.
I was so relieved. And I can't believe it. Boy, I bet you crashed hard after that golf game.
Yeah, he slept for like 25 minutes.
Oh, my gosh.
That's how the Navy SEALs do it.
That's how the Navy SEALs do it.
Right.
And speaking of Navy SEALs, is Christine now one of them? Because it sounds like she...
What happened, Christine?
Hi, guys.
I heard you got aggressive.
Well,
physical.
Christine is the single nicest person...
In the world.
On the planet. Think of whoever you think is the nicest person in the world. Christine is nicer than that.
Yeah,
person.
Those people are assholes compared to Christine.
Correct. So after the party, after Bean went to bed, Dave, the King of Mexico, says, hey, you want to go see Calvin Harris at Omnia, the nightclub right there? And we were like, yeah, of course, that'd be great. So we go into Calvin Harris, and Christine is – if you put Christine on top of Chip's shoulders, you got about 2'9" total. So they can't see anything.
Right.
So I tried to like make a little way up to the railing so that they could stand there. And Chip shot right through, and she was in the front watching Calvin Harris. She still couldn't see because of the lighting and stuff, but she was up front. And then Christine was right behind her. And then I heard Christine yelling. And by the way,
I don't remember this. I'm
many drinks in at this point. And I hear Christine yelling, I'm getting touched! Somebody's touching me too! I don't like this! Somebody's touching me! Like, everybody was crushing forward. I didn't know if she was getting touched inappropriately.
Right.
Or if she was just being crushed.
Oh, Chip and I were making a funny video at that point.
Oh, were you?
Yeah. Because we were being touched. And we thought it was funny.
I wasn't sure. So I moved in behind Christine.
Okay.
so that I could block people from crushing her.
Okay. Nice.
And then I put my hand up by Chip to just try, because Chip could take care of herself, but I had to actually, like, use my legs. I was pushing back on people just to keep them from crushing Christine. But the person on my left, I was just holding my arm up, and I thought, this guy is an ass. Mm. I can't believe the amount of pressure he's putting on me. If I move my arm, he will crush Christine. And that guy, King of Mexico. And he was standing up, and he was asleep.
Yep.
Yep. Standing up and out.
Good Lord.
I had been holding him off with my forearm for, I don't know, probably 7-8 minutes before I finally looked. Standing up, asleep.
Yep. Oh, my. I saw that earlier.
And I was like, are you, we're at Calvin Harris, what are you, and how do you stand? Why don't you go with Bean?
Something. Yeah, that's a lot. Well, when did Christine UFC Christine?
So now I'm blocking off people from Christine, but a security guard comes in.
Okay.
And he's like, everybody out of the way.
Oh.
Everybody back up. So he walks up to the front where Chip used to be. Mm-hmm. And now he's telling everybody, take a step back. And he starts to accuse Christine. What did he say to you exactly?
He said that I grabbed his ass.
Again, so out of character.
Right.
Well, I would like to point out that I had in my left hand a double Jameson and in my right hand my phone. And so I looked at him, held up both hands, and it was like, it wasn't me. And he was so angry. Like, he literally looked like he wanted to pick a fight with me. And I said, sir, I didn't grab your ass. And I think the problem was that he followed it up with, and I really wouldn't want to.
Oh, not what he needed to hear.
Okay, I had many, I mean, I don't know how many whiskeys at the singles party. So
sure.
I think I lost my kind of sense of...
you think?
You should have said that.
Your sense of decorum was a bit off.
Yeah.
Because, but then he said again, if you grab my ass again, I'm going to kick you out. And I heard Christine going, I have a drink in my hand and a food in my other. I was like, what's going on? She's melting. We're losing Christine right now.
Because at one point he turns around again when whoever else grabbed his ass. And I'm standing there with both hands and gets within 1 inch of my face and starts screaming at me.
Ew.
Oh, yeah, I was that guy.
Ew.
I know. And Kevin, by the way, was so nice. It was so, so sweet.
I couldn't have done anything for him.
No.
I was worried for his safety.
This guy was,
You know why? Christine, Navy SEAL.
Yeah, I heard that.
We're going to dip into some very funny comedians, all vying to be the opening act for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness at the Shrine this Saturday night. We're going to go live with the 10 finalists, and you can vote on who you would like to see open the show. Great batch, didn't you think, Allie?
Really good batch. I have a favorite already.
Yeah, me too. Let's find out what the listeners think. We'll debut those for you in about 10 minutes or so right here on KROQ. First, though, Monday mornings on the show means we catch up with our good friend Harvey Levin in the newsroom at TMZ.com. The most disturbing story I've seen all year is on the site right now, Harvey. How are you, sir? Welcome to you.
I'm good. Which one?
The Cash Me Outside girl is back.
No. It's worse.
Cash Me Outside. How about that?
The Cash Me Outside girl. Why don't you describe for our listeners how we came to know of this boil on America's butt a couple of months ago, Harvey?
So she was essentially a juvenile delinquent who went on Dr. Phil. She was stealing, breaking into cars, doing all sorts of things. And her mom brings her on and says, she's incorrigible, I don't know what to do. And the audience boos Danielle, and Danielle looks at the audience and says, cash me outside, as if I'll fight
cash you. Cash me outside, how about that?
There you go. So that became a thing.
Now, did America fall in love with her then, or were we repulsed by her?
That's both. And she became famous, and she's getting a TV show.
Harvey.
And
now I'm sorry, you just said getting a TV show. What did you mean by that?
I mean that there were 7 production companies that were trying to get her to do a reality show, and even a couple scripted. And she is signed with one of them, and they're shopping a reality show with her. And
this
I gotta
is
tell
a
you,
girl and a mom that beat the crap out of each other on the regular basis.
The mom was just as bad.
And we're rewarding them with money and a show. Give me a freaking break, America.
Catch me outside. How about that?
She'll fight you, Allie.
That girl needs to be put in a home.
I'm sorry.
Get some help.
Yes.
And then guess what? Her mom needs everything taken away from her.
Harvey just said it gets worse.
So guess what?
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 They dined at Dan Tana's last night.
Well, F Dan Tana's.
That Allie, can you afford Dantana's?
Boycott Dantana's. Good Lord.
She turned 14, celebrated her birthday at Dantana's. Her wish, her birthday wish, we're about to put this up on the site, is she wants a Maybach. This time not to break into one, but to own one.
Oh, my
God. And she has a tattoo on her shoulder.
14.
How can you even get someone to give you a tattoo at that age? Is it homemade?
Can't answer the question. No, it's real.
Prison?
And you should hear what she calls Dr. Phil.
Catch me outside. How about that?
What does she call Dr. Phil?
Am I allowed to say the a-hole?
Yes. Oh, sure. Yeah.
Okay, well, she called him one because he didn't call her and wish her happy birthday. After all, she did for him, she said.
Oh, no. I don't know if everybody saw the second time she was on, but she said, I made you like Oprah made you.
Yep. Right.
She said to Dr. Phil.
Well,
it's tough to be on Dr. Phil's side. I got to be honest.
What's the tattoo, Harvey?
It's, I don't know. Honestly,
just that she has a tattoo.
This whole thing is
it's so distasteful.
Making me reevaluate my life, that's for sure.
It's Chinese
catch me outside, how about that?
Yeah, right.
That's what it is.
Now, Harvey, but here's the thing, and you know a lot about television. If they give her a show, they're going to insist on more of this kind of behavior. They're not going to put her on if she cleans up her act and becomes well-behaved and obedient and studious. They're going to want her to continue to be awful.
So let me play devil's advocate then.
Right.
Explain the difference between that and Basketball Wives.
Nothing.
I don't think there is much of a difference. I think this is sadder because she's 14. I think that's what makes it sadder for me.
You know,
I don't know.
There are a lot of people who are watching her saying, what is this girl going to do if she's not famous and cashes in right now? And she's probably going to, you know, make a lot of money. Like Farrah Abraham.
Well, yes. I'm sure she'll be very responsible. She'll put some aside, maybe some stocks.
Yeah, happen, right?
She'll be fine.
Sure.
Yeah.
Harvey, isn't there any way you can stop this?
Please, do not lay this on me.
Right, it's not Harvey's fault.
But come on, Harvey. Why'd you do this?
Do not lay this on me.
Catch me outside.
Well, it's only a matter of time.
I mean, we're talking about it, so yay her.
So she's winning.
And let me just say one final thing. She does really well every time we put her on the website.
Really?
Yeah.
It's only a matter of time before
you didn't put her on the website, though?
Of course she's on the website. This is news, though,
Allie. But what if you didn't put it on?
Okay, Allie, give me an option.
Don't put it on the website.
Okay, now give me an option on what to put in the site then. What do you like?
Let's shut down TMZ and put on a website of people doing good things for the world.
It would give me a lot more free time, that's for sure.
Yeah, no kidding. And Allie, your website would die after about 6 weeks.
You'd be like, I hate all this good stuff.
Exactly. All right, Harvey. Well, look, I know we're not going to shoot the messenger. You are the bearer of bad news, but it's not your fault. But it really, it makes me evaluate my life and my country as well. So thank you for sharing the story with us. You can see all this at TMZ.com and so many other great stories we didn't have time to talk about, including, by the way, another White House fence jumper. Unbelievable. And I had no idea until I saw it on the site, all these bomb threats that so far think. Yeah, Trump Towers that so far, thank God, appear to just be hoaxes. But, man, what they have to put people through every time someone calls in with one of those, it's crazy how much time and money that's costing us.
True. I mean, they're getting three a week, and it's taxing NYPD and Secret Service. And, you know, you got to think, people in that building are saying, I wish he would have told me he was going to run for president before I bought this thing.
Okay. That must be miserable for them.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. Great stuff up at TMZ.com. Don't forget, look for TMZ all over your TV today on Fox Channel 11, TMZ Live at 4 p.m. Same channel, TMZ Sports Monday through Friday at midnight on Fox Sports 1. Great chat, Harvey. We'll do it again next time. Thank you.
Okay, guys. We'll see you.
By the way, just one more note about the singles party that we talked about a half hour ago. There are pictures up at KevinandMe.com. So if you want to check those out, you can go there.
Hey, now that the singles part is behind us, on to the next one, which is this Saturday night at the Shrine Auditorium. Tickets are still available if you want to join us for Kevin Amin's April Foolishness, AXS.com. And I was thinking about this. The proceeds benefit, again this year, Fisher House, that builds homes for injured veterans who are getting hospital care for their families to be able to stay near them while they're getting care.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's veterans. The other proceeds are going to Cedars-Sinai NICU, which helps tiny little babies that are born with health problems that need work, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
If you don't buy tickets to April Foolishness, you hate the military and you hate little kids.
Right.
That's the life you're carving out for yourself if you don't buy tickets for this show.
You know how much I hate to back Bean, but that sounds logical.
I mean, it's pretty true, right?
Yeah.
Tickets as low as $25 on sale now at AXS.com. The great Bill Burr. I mean, look, Bill Burr alone, that's all you need. Angela Johnson, David Koechner, Jimmy Pardo, Adam Ray, Jonah Ray, Taylor Williamson, and the Kevin and Bean Show will all be together this Saturday night. Won't you please join us?
Plus, opening acts. We have the top 10 of the opening acts for you to vote on. And you can vote through Thursday morning show, Thursday morning at 10 a.m. We're going to highlight the top 10 today. One of them is Billy Bunnell, and he's talking about energy drinks.
Energy drinks seem so dangerous, in fact, that I bet in 2040 they're going to have to run commercials on TV that are like, did you, a loved one, or someone you know? Drink an energy drink or a supplement in the early 21st century and now shake uncontrollably? Because if you did, you're going to need to call the law offices of Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
I think he's right about that, by the way. I don't think the research is in on energy drinks yet. He's funny. That guy's funny.
Here's Ryan D. from El Monte talking about his parents.
It kind of confuses people, though, because I was raised by my stepdad, who's Hispanic. And my mom's Hispanic. So when I introduce people to my dad, I'm introducing them to my stepdad, right? And then they're like, I thought you were half white. And then I have to explain to them, sometimes the white ones leave, too.
Come on. Ryan, if I remember correctly, was a top 10 finalist for opening act April Fool's this last year as well. Very funny guy. Glad he tried again, because I really like him.
Here is Matt Donaher. Am I saying that right? Matt Donaher?
Yeah.
Close enough, right?
I was at the grocery store. When I got to the cashier, she was like, do you want to donate $2 to end world hunger? I was like, hell yeah. I had no idea we were so close. I'm going to be a goddamn hero. You know when you join a gang, they beat you up? There's a chance I'm in like 30 gangs.
Oh, that's so sad. He's very funny.
Here's a comedian from Walnut named Julian Fernandez, and he does some pretty good impressions.
Whenever I chime in on women, like Liam Neeson, you know, just a man's man. Like, he's our generation's Chuck Norris. Like, I feel like that would be good. I could walk up to a woman and just be like, I don't know who you are. You can give me your number, and I will call you. Why are you running away? Come back!
We are going through some of the finalists for the opening act contest for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. Who is going to open the show this Saturday night at the Shrine?
Yes, we are. Hold on 1 second. I need to get the right. I'm trying to play a clip, and I left something on in the other room. Okay, there we go. All right, now up next is Jen Murphy. And she's the one that was talking about what she does perhaps every time when she gets done.
I actually spent a good part of my day today, like, Googling personality disorders. Is that weird? And it's just because I recently got dumped, and I was just like, screw that. I'll find out what's wrong with him. Because it is not me. No, it's me. I like assholes. That's my problem. It's okay. I don't mind being single. I just hate dating. Like, there's so much eye contact involved. I feel like it's creeped out by that. Like, I feel like you make an appointment just to sit across from somebody and just, like, stare at them. Like, this is fun. Plus, like, you're really offended because, like, nobody ever looks down. Like, B cups need love, too. Right?
She's upset that he's not looking at her boobs.
See? She makes a lot of sense. Thank you, Jen. All right, so those are the first five. We'll play the other five of our finalists later, but you can help decide who takes the stage at the Shrine this Saturday night. Go to KROQ.com and cast your vote.
106.7 KROQ is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 6:55.
Rob is out one more day. Allie's in with the showbiz beat here on KROQ. What's going on, Allie?
I'd like to give away something.
Ooh, check you out.
Right? It's just what I do. How about a pair of one-day tickets to WonderCon?
Yeah!
Right?
The Wait, kids... hold on. What's WonderCon? Are we excited about that?
Absolutely. Yes. Kids love WonderCon.
Yay!
It is one of the largest comic conventions on the West Coast, and it is this weekend at the Anaheim Convention Center. So three callers are going to win a pair of one-day tickets, and tickets go on sale or on sale right now at Comic-Con, comic-con.org, comic-con.org. So first three callers.
Call now, 1-800-520-1067. I love you.
Is a slash and a dash different?
Yes. Yes, I think so, yeah.
Okay. So a dash, comic-con.org.
Yes.
1-800-520-1067.
Right.
And you will go to see the lovely people of WonderCon this weekend at the Anaheim Convention Center. You guys, Bean sent me the story, and Bean, did your creepy meter go off?
Very much so, yes.
Okay, okay, good.
Do you have one?
That's why I was like, is he on Val Kilmer's side with this or not? So in 2006, Val Kilmer told Elle magazine that Australian actress Kate Blanchett, who he worked with alongside on The Missing, was just a woman that he'd most want to have in speed dial.
Okay.
So fast forward 10 years, and he's still pretty thirsty, and he's tweeting up a storm. First one Friday, he took a selfie and then accompanied this. Once I flew all the way to Australia just to talk to Kate Blanchett. Her husband met me first, or instead, I guess, to be accurate.
Wow, what?
That's an odd thing to put with the selfie, but it continues. And recently, I've had two dreams with Kate in them. Her husband wasn't in either of them. Okay.
That's weird. Right,
it's getting a little stalky.
It's
now,
weird right? to hear a celebrity talking like this about another celebrity.
That's married.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. She's just an amazing person. Some superstars aren't. Some superstars don't do a thing to you in person. Kate is so real. It's almost unreal. Here's okay. Once I did a cameo just to hang out with Kate, who picked up a shovel in our scene. I was so dazzled by how she picked it up, I forgot my line. That was accompanied by a picture of her.
Creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert.
This is these are the tweets of Val Kilmer, former Batman, who apparently has gone bye-bye.
This one. I mean, even if she couldn't act, you know what I mean?
And that was just to put up a photo of her looking beautiful, right?
Yes. And then people started calling him on it. And one woman said, "You're being super creepy and obsessive. Now let it go, eh?" And he wrote back, "Nothing in the least creepy about loving someone. What kind of world do you come from?" Okay.
What is the most number of tweets that you can tweet about a celebrity that you have a crush on before it's creepy? Because if it's one time, it's a compliment,
two
right?
It depends on the tweet, though.
That is true.
Bean could tweet once and it's too many.
You are correct.
Right?
You are correct. But then he found himself just defending these tweets, saying, "I've never done, said, or written a single idea that wasn't of the highest respect and admiration for Kate or any other great talent. She's a friend of mine, and I've met her husband through the years, and we've all gotten along just fine. Anyone who thinks I need to curb my enthusiasm for a great rare artist doesn't understand how difficult the job is and how we artists count on the respect of our peers. She will back up every word I say and love, and that I say I love her. I would love an actor I didn't even enjoy if he flew the world to talk about a role." Okay.
Wow.
You're creepy.
Take it easy.
You are creepy as hell.
Creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert.
I mean, I
hope he sincerely feels that way, but that's a tough sell.
It does sound, yeah.
Based on that many tweets, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Talking about her lifting up a shovel.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the way she lifted it up. What? It's a shovel. It's just weird. It's just weird. But some great news. According to Rolling Stone, Snoop Dogg will induct his late friend and Death Row label mate Tupac Shakur into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame during the ceremony on April 7th.
Not from Canada.
No, they're from right here in L.A.
They're from Canada at all, right?
No, they're local guys.
Mm-hmm.
Tupac is the sixth rap act to enter the storied institution following Run DMC. Who?
The Monkees?
No. The Monkees. No, I'm talking about rap acts in the Hall of Fame. Run DMC, Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, The Beastie Boys, Public Enemy, NWA, and now Tupac. And TMZ had reported that Snoop and potentially Dr. Dre could participate in a musical tribute to Tupac, but the all-star lineup for the tribute has not yet been finalized.
That'd be awesome. So
Pretty interesting.
It is, Rodney.
Thank you, Rodney.
Some great news for music lovers. And it always... What? I'm sorry, Rodney?
He was just following along.
Okay. It always ignites that whole, well, why are rappers in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Sure, there's always that.
It's music. Right, Bean?
Absolutely. By the way, I love playing this piece of tape because Ice Cube addressed that when NWA got inducted.
Yes.
Was it just last year?
Mm-hmm.
And here's what he had to say about it.
The question is, are we rock and roll? And I say, you're goddamn right, we rock and roll.
Look, if Cube says it,
right?
It has to be true.
That's correct.
Absolutely. Word is bond, right? Who's with
right.
me? Could I have been whiter?
I'm not sure you pulled that off.
Hey, you guys, let's talk some birthdays. Quentin Tarantino, 54. Polly Perrette, 48. Actress Brenda Song is 29. Singer Jessie J is 29. Singer Fergie is 42. Mariah Carey, that was the saddest uh-huh. bell ever.
You know how I feel about Fergie.
Mariah Carey is 47.
Yeah.
Wow, that's
Yeah, that's too much, maybe.
That's a switch up right there. Actor Nathan Fillion is 46. I'm Allie McKay, filling in for Ralph Garman on the Showbiz Beat.
As we have mentioned, this Saturday night, we will all be together at the Shrine for the 9th annual Kevin and Bean April Fool's Concert. Great lineup again this year, but now you know it's Bill Burr and Jimmy Pardo and Taylor Williamson and all the rest. We're giving away a pair of tickets in the Big Lee section right now. Now, Kevin, what's going to go along with these tickets? Besides the fact that these tickets are up close, what else are you going to get if you win this?
They're up front. You also get VIP parking.
Nice.
You get the pre-party where we all hang out for about an hour before the show.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And perhaps have a drink or 10.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You get a T-shirt.
Uh-huh.
So you get all that. And it's only $99, but I believe those are sold out. So we're going to give some away coming up here in just a minute.
Right now, in fact, we're going to open up the phone lines at 1-800-520-1067. Now, there's going to be a lot of very talented people on stage that night. We'd like to have some talented people in the audience, too. We are asking you to call us right now and give us your best celebrity impression. We want you to do a celebrity impression for us. And our favorite one is going to win tickets in the Big Lee section. I mean, I think almost everybody has one. I mean, like my Hulk Hogan. This would be the one that I would call in, mm-hmm. right?
Sure.
I would call and go, I'd like to win those tickets to see the show, brother. That would be me. And then I go, boo, I just get the tickets and I go to the show.
No, you wouldn't win, though.
I don't even think you'd
you
be put on
win.
Hold.
No.
Really? You don't think I'd make the screening process?
No.
Kevin, which one of your many, many voices would you do if
just
you were
Alf.
On the other end of the phone? All right, let's hear it. So you call up and you go, yeah, my name is Kevin. I'd like to win the tickets. Mm-hmm. And I say, as the phone screen, I go, all right, what's your impression, little Kevin? And you would do what?
No problem.
Nailed
right,
it.
Would he
Boom!
Make it through to the air?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah. And right next to it, under comments, would be like, winner.
Allie, what would your impression be?
Probably Elmo, right?
All
sure.
Right, so we have Allie on the phone from Los Angeles. Allie, let's hear your impression.
I can talk loud and soft.
Wow.
See?
She destroys both of us.
Right?
All
wow.
right. So now you get an idea.
I would hear that. And I would just hang up. In shame.
Would you?
Yeah, I would just hang up
really?
Before they got
it
to me.
It was that good?
Well, mine's that bad as well.
Okay.
So there's that whole...
Why don't you do your Tina? Go ahead. Go ahead.
My what?
Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh, yeah. Tina, come get some ham.
All right, that might win, actually. I'm sorry.
All right.
Hey,
so
B, why don't you do your French agent?
All right. We're out of time for this. 1-800-520-1067.
Kevin, why don't you do your Michael McDonald?
Come on,
we want to hear.
Do your Michael
we have
McDonald.
Other stuff to do here.
Do
your
it just real quick.
Celebrity impression.
You keep forgetting you're not in love anymore.
Right? That guarantees me a spot.
That is pretty good. All right, give us a call. We'll take your calls to win some tickets
I
for the
50 so
second.
Much.
All right, I hate to radically switch gears here, but this is a serious topic that we now have to somehow try to get into. Kevin, you're going to be concerned because you and I are in agreement on one thing, which is that we hate 911 calls when they're made public. Yeah. I don't know. I understand that the Freedom of Information Act of this country and other countries have laws around the world that enables the press to be able to say, hey, let me have the 911 call. And I just feel, and I think you've said this in the past, that it is the worst moment in a family's life when they have to call 911.
And so why do they have to put those out? Like, I never listen to them. I don't want to hear – somebody just had a tragedy and they're talking to 911. I don't want to hear that.
And I totally agree with you. And I think it's unbelievably insensitive when they do it to celebrities. Like, you know, the one that comes to mind always is William Shatner when he found his wife in the pool. I mean, the worst moment of his whole life. Don't put that on TV. All right. Having said all that, I'm about to play a 911 call.
All right.
And the reason is because this story has a happy ending, and I honestly, legitimately believe that this conversation that we are going to have and this story that I'm going to bring you in the next 2 minutes is potentially going to save lives. This is a four-year-old boy in Great Britain. Allie, you're going to fall in love with his voice. He's such a little scamp. His name is Roman. He calls 999. He calls 999.
Who's called anyone a scamp in their entire life?
The emergency service number in
your entire life.
That's you're getting off topic here, Kevin. I'm trying to tell you about little Roman.
Don't call him a scamp, and then I won't get off topic.
He calls 999 because his mother is unconscious. He is four years old, by the way. Here's the beginning of the call.
Hello, please. What is your emergency?
Hello, I'm Roman.
Come on. Is he a scamp?
Wow.
Roman.
I don't know what a scamp is, but I like the sound of his voice. Sounds cute.
Okay, where's your mummy?
She's at home.
And where are you?
Drinking.
At home as well.
Can you do me a favor? Can you go and get mummy?
She can't. She's dead.
Okay, I can't.
Oh,
she's
no.
dead.
Wow. Wow.
Okay.
Oh,
so.
Oh, no.
How is he so calm at the beginning of the call?
Because he's a scamp.
Kevin. Who knew?
No, little Roman is a baller, and here's why. His mother, we don't have a complete timeline of what happened. We still don't know actually what happened to her mom, although she's not dead, she's alive, and she's home, and she's fine.
Okay,
so I want you to know that's where this is headed.
All right, good.
At some point, little Roman discovers that his mom is unconscious. Aww. He is 4 years old. He knows enough to take her cell phone and press her thumb up to the home screen and ask Siri to call 911.
Whoa. He is literally smarter than I am now.
At 4 years old. And by the way, when I said I think this conversation might save lives, take note of what little Roman did. If you've got little kids, as soon as they are old enough to comprehend how to call for help, make sure that they know how to do it. Because you never know when you're going to be in a circumstance like that.
Yeah.
And that's not all Roman impressed me with.
You said mommy was there. What do you mean she said?
It means that she's closing her eyes and she's not breathing.
Oh. Right, so do you know where you live?
Both 22.
All right, so part of that address was redacted.
Right.
Here's the other thing that God bless Roman's mom for thinking of this is she made sure that her four-year-old knows how to say his address out loud. Which I think a lot of people don't think about because why would my kid's never going to be in a situation you think where he's not going to have an adult around who's going to know how to take him or her home, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Why does a kid need to know the street number and the house number? If Roman didn't know that, it would have been real difficult for 999 to be able to come to the assistance of the mother.
It's not just that he knows it. It's also he's under that incredible pressure of the situation. And he still could come through with it.
And I don't know how to teach that. They may have just gotten real lucky with Roman was not the kind of kid who would just freak out and panic. But the fact that at some point, obviously, he had that conversation about how to call emergency services and to give an address is why his mother is alive today.
Can you go to your mummy and shake her for me?
She's not waking up.
Give her a good shake. Shout out, mummy.
Mummy! It didn't work.
Are you in Kenley?
Yes, Kenley.
All right, so he knows this city as well. Well, emergency services got to the woman's house within 12 minutes. They took her to the hospital. They did not reveal why she was unconscious, but she has since been discharged from the hospital and is back with her children at home. Here's the message, and this is what I want you to take away from this conversation. This is from the hospital. If you do nothing else today, then I'd employ any parents of young children to sit down with them and make sure they know what to do in this kind of situation and that they know how to contact police or other emergency services in an emergency. As this case demonstrates so poignantly, it could really be the difference between life and death.
Wow.
Is Roman a scamp or what?
I don't know what a scamp is, but I do make a ruling.
If the men's college basketball championship game ends up being North Carolina versus South Carolina, what's the level of interest around the country for that matchup?
None.
I don't know.
Zero.
Outside of the Carolinas.
I don't know, because I feel like people do. I especially do like to watch teams that I have no interest in, just because it's March Madness and things can be crazy and this is the championship. I would think people would be invested just because of that.
Wait, is one called the Gamecocks?
That's South Carolina.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. No, just kidding. In.
Go Cocks.
Go Cocks.
Let's say it while we can. We'll talk all things college basketball with our friend Petros Papadakis coming up in just a minute. But first, we're giving away some tickets for Kevin Amin's April Foolishness Saturday night at the Shrine. Tickets still on sale at access.com if you'd like to join us. This is in the Big Lee section, which is the parking and the T-shirt and the upfront and the party and the whole deal. What's this game called, Kevin?
This game is called Do an Impression for Us. And if we like it, we'll put you in the drawing.
It's quite the name.
I feel like Omar's jingle wasn't what I hoped it would be there.
We don't have one.
All right.
Yes.
So any celebrity impression to win your tickets, let's just take them in order. Who's up first?
Up first is Rudy in San Juan Capistrano. Hi there.
What's the game again?
That's do an impression of someone famous, and then maybe you're good enough, and we'll do a drawing.
All right, Rudy. Who are you going to be doing for us here, buddy?
I'm going to be doing Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton. Oh. Clinton, a very timely impression. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Here's Rudy.
How are you guys doing today? It's a great fine morning talking to you, fellas. Did you guys know I almost became the first gentleman? It would have been quite nice, wouldn't it? Hey, you guys want to hear a joke?
Don't care.
All right. Great content. Okay impression. Great content. Thank you, Rudy. Hang on. You're in the drawing. Who's up next?
Ricardo in Los Angeles. Hi.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, guys.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready?
Thank you. Yeah, I'm going to do Matthew McConaughey.
Matthew McConaughey calling from the moon. I'm looking forward to hearing this.
All right. Some people look at me and say, I get everything handed to me. It falls right into my lap. Do you know what I got to say? I got a dog in a fight, but he won't bite. All right. J.K. Lim.
All right. Thank you, Ricardo.
Get a new phone. Hold on.
Let's try it. Oh, it's on.
What?
Luke in Cyprus is coming for you, Allie McKay.
Oh. All right.
Luke, what are you going to be doing for us here?
I am going to be doing my own Elmo.
Are we going to have an Elmo off? Is that where we're at?
Oh, Elmo is going down with Elmo.
Okay. All right. Let's hear it. Good luck.
Hello, Kevin and Dean. This is Elmo, and I want to go to see the Foolishness with Allie.
I'm out. His Elmo kills.
That's pretty good Elmo.
His Elmo's great.
All right, you hang on, Luke.
I'm not
Thank
even
you.
Sure if I was doing Elmo after hearing that.
I think
at all.
You were in the ballpark all of us.
I wasn't even Elmo adjacent.
Okay, all right.
Hey, before we get to Jerry from Alhambra on line 4, Kevin, could you remind us, what's this game called again?
You guys call up and then do an impression of someone famous, and then if it's good, we'll do a drawing, and then someone will win.
It's getting better.
I like it. All right, Jerry, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What impression do you have for us?
I have Arnold Schwarzenegger.
All right.
Okay, I don't know.
All right.
A little serious there. Take it easy. All right, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Here we go. Here's Jerry.
Yeah, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger, and I'm ready to go to the April Foolishness and meet puny Kevin and Bean. I'm going to take Donald Trump as my date because he's so in love with me.
All right.
Jerry doing a political chunk. I like it.
A little Hans and Franz.
But not in the voice that I do of Arnold Schwarzenegger, I'll tell you that. Yeah, it was a lot more Hans and Franz. You're right. All right. How about line 5, please? Oscar in Linwood is going to another impression from the Wayback Machine. What do you got for us here, Oscar?
I got Pee Wee Herman.
All right. Pee Wee Herman.
All right, everyone but Oscar is in the drawing to win the tickets for the April Foolishness.
I mean, I think it was good enough, no?
All right.
I mean...
All right, you're easy. Put him in.
Okay, all right.
We have time for Roy?
Yeah, let's do Roy. Thank you for calling, Roy.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, Kevin. How you doing? All right. Hey, Kevin and Bean. I pity you guys if you don't give me tickets to April Foolishness in LMA after I take my apartment, and I'll show what a real man's like. Did I win? Come on. Get me in there.
Hold on. We're going to have a conversation.
Let's do one more, and let's make it Tim and Corona, only because this is not someone that you often see an impression done of.
All right. Hey, Tim.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Thank you.
All right. I'm going to do Patrick Warburton.
Patrick Warburton.
The Tick himself, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. All right, the poison for Cusco, the poison specifically chosen to kill Cusco, Cusco's poison. That poison.
I mean, that's pretty good.
I mean, that was Patrick Warburton-esque, for sure. Okay.
That was pretty good.
All right, so that's Tim. We heard Roy's Mr. T, Oscar's Pee Wee Herman, Jerry's Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, Luke's Elmo, Ricardo's Matthew McConaughey, and Rudy started us off with Bill Clinton. One will win tickets to bring a guest to the Big Lee section of Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. Oh. At the Shrine this Saturday night. Miss Allie McKay, who's our winner, please?
Damn you, Luke. It is on.
Luke.
I thought it wasn't on. I thought he already destroyed you.
He destroyed me. But after a couple cocktails, I think mine will be better.
Okay. Luke, congratulations. We'll see you Saturday.
Thank you so much, guys.
You bet. Thank you for playing the game. By the way, Hank Azaria, who we have loved so much in so many things, including Ray Donovan, has a new show coming to IFC that is very funny, and we'll be talking to him coming up next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, except for Busted Brackets, I think people are really enjoying this tournament this year, this NCAA Men's Basketball Championship, don't you?
Yeah, I think as far as brackets go, I think people are just used to losing that.
Right?
Nobody ever wins it, so you just go, all right, well, whatever.
But in terms of the drama and the game and the personalities and the excitement and so much more, it's been a fun, fun tournament. We thought we might catch up on the weekend's action and look ahead toward the Final Four with our good friend Petros Papadakis, co-host of the Petros and Money radio show on AM 570. How are you, P?
What's poppin'? Good morning. Hello.
I have a question for you that I want to start that's more of a general nature, since you are a former college athlete yourself. These kids are still in class during the week between these weekend games, right?
I know, that is cute.
The reason I say that is that Luke May of North Carolina had an 8 a.m. class today and got a standing ovation when he showed up for class after his buzzer beater on Saturday
night.
That's
the only reason.
Oh, they bring a camera?
I don't know if there's a camera or not. I just heard
what a shock. They followed him to class. Listen, here's the rule.
Yeah, tell me what the deal is.
There are two revenue sports in college athletics. One is men's basketball. The other is football. Mm-hmm. Nobody else makes any money except for the UConn women.
Right, who've dominated for 40 years.
Right, that's a whole thing.
And haven't lost a game in our lifetime, those guys.
Yeah, maybe Tennessee, maybe Baylor. I mean, I'm serious.
Yeah.
Nobody else makes any money other than the men's basketball teams and football. There's a general rule that if you want a football player to go to class, you got to walk them to class. No, that's what we would do. The basketball, though, is not good enough just to walk them to class. You got to walk them to class and stand outside the door so they don't leave right after you drop them off.
I was just thinking when Bean said that he showed up and they gave him a standing O that he would just turn around and walk right back out.
Well, I can promise you he either left immediately or just fell asleep in the back.
Right.
I mean, look, we've spent so much time as a society and also on this show talking about how ridiculous it is, the restrictions they put on so many of these athletes in terms of making money and getting gifts and things like that. It's almost too much to ask for them to also go to class on top of the training and travel schedule that they have during tournaments, right?
That's not necessarily true. But, you know, really? I talk to athletes and classes and people all the time, you know, high school and college and beyond, about this kind of stuff. You can get your education, but you got to want to do it. And
right.
If you do it, it's a great benefit, obviously, to the rest of your life. But it's very and the resources are there for these guys to get it. But it's very difficult when you're on TV cutting down a net and the cameras are blazing, or if you've lost and you feel depressed and you've got to answer to it to the media,
sure,
to get up and, you know, put on your sweats or whatever and sit in class with. There's a big separation between people that are athletes in college and people that are students. I mean, I would sit there at noon in class and say, gosh, I've got to go have my head turned in to a canoe by a 280-pound guy after this class, and the white guy sitting next to me is going to drink a 12er and smoke a bowl and have sex with his hot sorority girlfriend. You know, this sucks.
I pick his life.
Yeah, but I go to school for free.
I do have the ending of the Kentucky-North Carolina game, if anybody wants to hear that. Because
let's hear Luke May's shot.
It was just crazy.
With five, looks up. Driving in, May for the win! North Carolina with 0.3 seconds to go! An incredible shot!
It was one of the craziest endings I've ever seen because just before that, Kentucky hit a three-pointer that tied it.
Right, and then, you know, the other day in the Elite Eight, we had the Wisconsin-Florida game with those wacky three-pointers where the guys, mm-hmm. all the momentum had carried them all the way past the free throw line, but they were three-pointers.
You know,
it was, and
that one went into overtime.
Yeah, and you know, both of those games, the regular part ended with one of those three-pointers, and then the overtime ended with one of those three-pointers. That's why I'm a really good sports guy.
Yeah.
Very well.
Yeah. We were in Las Vegas, P, at the singles party, and that game was on the big screens there at the place where we were having it in Las Vegas, and it was just unbelievable. Every time you looked up, the lead had changed in that final couple of minutes of that game.
It's funny because, you know, people are saying, well, UCLA, God, if they just didn't have to play Kentucky and the way the bracket worked out, and you know, these people at North Carolina are all obviously very excited, but and you look at Gonzaga's path and Oregon's path, you have to beat one of these, at least one of these gigantic blue bloods in basketball when it comes down to it. Like, if you want to get to the Final Four, you're going to end up having to beat, you know, a Kentucky or a North Carolina or a Duke. Or, I mean, look what South Carolina had to do. I mean, you're going to have to beat one of these legendary coaches and one of these blue-blooded programs where, you know, the tickets are sold out for 20 years in that town.
Sure. So the Final Four is South Carolina, Gonzaga, and then Oregon.
Who, by the way, are both teams who have never been to Final Fours before, right, P?
Well, Oregon has not been. Oregon won the very first.
Right. Kevin said South Carolina versus Gonzaga, the first game. Those are teams that have never been. Oregon hasn't been since 1939, and North Carolina's been more than anybody.
South Carolina is a nothing athletic school. You know, they call them USC down there in the South. They are not. We are USC.
Right.
Oh.
I see.
I see what you're doing.
That being said, they've done a better job. You know, they've made a lot of money with the SEC network and just the revenues to go out and hire coaches. And they hired this guy, Frank Martin, and he's a hell of a coach, a wacky Cuban guy. He's fiery. And he goes crazy on the bench. You know, these bench jockeys are nuts. And Gonzaga being in there is great because, you know, they're one of the great smaller schools. And they finally broke through and made a Final Four, which is long overdue, but a lot of
fun. Yeah, they get
fun.
Close every tournament, right? Every tournament, it seems like they inch forward a little bit more than the last one.
Yeah, and that guy, they've actually been a disappointment not making it all the way until now. But it finally has kind of washed away all that disappointment over the years because they have just as big of a fan base and just as big of a momentum than any of these other West Coast teams.
That's Jesuits, am I right?
Yes, I think it's a Jesuit school.
Yes, it is.
They are Catholics for sure.
All right, P,
Jesuit for sure.
I have two questions for you, P. Which game, usually it seems to me like in the Final Four, one of the Saturday games is the best game of the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Which game do you think will be the best of the two on Saturday? You got South Carolina, Gonzaga, and you got Oregon, North Carolina.
Probably Oregon, North Carolina.
Okay.
Know, just to see Oregon. Oregon lost one of their best players, Boucher, before the tournament started with a season-ending injury. And they're doing this without one of their best players. But they have two guys. One of them plays on Dorsey, who plays on the Greek national team, believe it or not. But he's a black guy. And I guess his aunt or something is Greek.
I feel like we're off on a bit of a tangent.
Well, no, what I'm saying is, and Dylan Brooks, the other Oregon player, is on the Canadian national team.
Hmm.
So these guys have had a lot of, you know, they played in the Pan Am games, they played in all kinds of international competition, tournament style, and they seem to be able to survive late in games because of that, because of their international. And the Oregon coach, Dana Altman, is 100 times better than the UCLA coach and 50 times better than the Arizona coach, Sean Miller. This guy's a stud, the Oregon coach. So I'd really like to see Oregon do it. You know, I know they have all that Nike money and stuff behind them, but I like the way they play, and I think they're really well coached.
All right, let me ask you one more question. You briefly mentioned we lost UCLA in the tournament over the weekend. Did I hear correctly that Lonzo Ball has already come out and said he's not going back to school? He's going to declare himself a free agent for the draft?
Yeah, you guys going to play the Red Hot Chili Peppers this hour?
So it's a guarantee.
Yeah. So no surprise there.
Well, you know, and that's a little bit of a part of this, you know, why is it so funny that they're standing up for this guy, you know, when he walks into class. Most of these schools, you know, these players are not sticking around because that's the rules are the rules, and it's very complicated in college.
Right.
But the whole one-and-done thing is, you know, if you're going to go make money, go make money and see what happens.
Right, before you get hurt or whatever, right.
Exactly.
That makes sense. All right, P, well, great tournament so far. I guess we'll look forward to Saturday and then the championship game on Monday. Do we know who's going to be singing One Shining Moment this year?
Well, every year I push for a band to take it over, an indie rock band called Grouper from the Northwest, a song called Heavy Water, I'd Rather Be Sleeping. And I thought we could get, like, you know, I don't know, Vandross Is Dead or something, but maybe John Legend to cover it.
Okay.
But that's fallen on deaf ears.
Look, I hate One Shining Moment more than anyone. It's a light,
it's terrible.
It's a light rock love song.
Yeah, and the song I like is from a great album called Dragging a Dead Deer Up a Hill.
All right. All right. Once again, we go deep into the weeds with our friend Pete.
Put it right on that one.
I think that one of the guys in Groupers, their aunt is actually from Greece.
Is Greek. Oh, how about that? Yeah. That's interesting.
And that's Petra's on the Greek national team, and it's made a big difference.
Right.
It will shock you that Petra's has his own radio show, along with Matt Buddy Smith on Fox Sports Radio AM 570. Look forward to this afternoon.
I'm an expert.
All right. Thanks for coming on, Pete.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, LA and OC's alternative rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52. Congratulations to Richard Quirp.
What?
I think that's right. Quirp.
All right.
Q-U-E-R-P.
All right. That's an unusual last name.
From
Newhall. Congratulations, Richard. What did he win?
Well, first of all, he won the ticket to see Coldplay at the Rose Bowl on October 6th.
Nice.
And he's our grand prize winner. He gets a European summer vacation with Coldplay, where he gets to pick between Italy and the UK and France and Germany and Sweden and Belgium and Ireland to see as well. So, pretty cool prize.
Way to
and
go.
Congratulations, and thanks for listening.
When was the last time either of you picked up a telephone call from a number that you did not recognize?
Never.
Kevin?
I don't think I ever have.
Mm-mm.
Then why do we call our winners? Why don't we text them?
I'm not sure, Bean.
Okay.
Maybe this conversation should have been had before we went on the air.
I'm just saying. Every week we have a grand prize drawing and we call the person and we never get them on the phone.
Yeah,
I'm just
wondering
if
maybe
that's the problem, is that we're calling them and they're like, I'm not picking up this number.
So, especially our listeners.
Those people are probably a-holes, right?
Exactly, right. You gotta have a meeting or something. All right, 7:53. Ralph will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, one more day of the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ellen.
Wow, Beauty and the Beast. Showing no signs of slowing down. And by no signs of slowing down, the weekend's box office. Number one, Beauty and the Beast for the second week. This time, a paltry $88.3
million. $88.3 million for a second weekend.
That's unreal. Amazing. That's really impressive. They're nearing, I believe, the $700 million mark already.
What?
That's what I'm saying.
I have no desire whatsoever to see that movie, by the way.
It's not
Does that
for
make
you.
Me a bad person?
No, I don't think it's for you.
A lot of other things make you a bad person, but this is not for you.
Okay.
Not one of them, yeah. Coming in number two, their debut with $40.5 million, Saban's Power Rangers. Number three, Kong Skull Island. Fourth, Life. Fifth, Logan. Number six, Get Out, which made another $8.7
million. I'm so glad that's hanging around. That is a great movie.
Yeah. Jordan Peele needs to start making like one a year, right? Is that what we're saying?
Sure.
I think that's what we're saying. Chips debuted at number seven with $7.6 million, followed by The Shack, the Lego Batman movie, and rounding out the top ten, The Belko Experiment at $1.8 million. And when James Gunn was in, he said all he needed to do was break $5 million, and he was good. He's done that, for sure.
Sure has.
So that's some good stuff. Big news over the weekend in Hollywood was that Colin Farrell is in negotiations to star in Disney's live-action remake of the 1941 animated classic Dumbo. The Wrap reports he'd play a widowed father of two kids from Kentucky in the film, which also stars Eva Green and Danny DeVito. And I didn't know this, but Tim Burton has already signed on to direct that film.
No kidding.
So that's going to have a interesting Dumbo twist. Tim Burton, all his weird trees and stuff. Who's with me?
I mean, I'm with you visually. He's very interesting.
Yes.
I don't know that I would say his weird trees.
Always weird trees.
Okay, fine.
Will Smith was supposed to star in the film, but he dropped out last month. So, should be a interesting flick. Colin Farrell. I mean, I'm in just with that. Plus Dumbo.
Right?
Who doesn't love an elephant? Said that for years, right?
You've said that your whole life.
My whole life. Thank you for noticing. Ladies, Chip, listen up.
Okay.
John Gosling has just landed a new gig as an exotic dancer.
Oh, my gosh. No.
No. Vin, stay with me. TMZ.com reports that the father of eight will be strutting his stuff during a show called Untamed Male Review.
No.
It is true, at Caesars Atlantic City. Word is he'll be stripping down to his undies. He's been training hard and plans to make his grand debut on April 1st.
Okay, all right. Everything on April 1st is suspect.
Except for foolishness.
Except for April foolishness.
Right,
that's actually
what
happening.
We're saying.
Except for
that.
Saturday,
April. Right, that's what we're saying.
But what do you think it's fake? And is it really a good sell that it's John Gosselin anyway? Is that going to get butts in the seats?
I can't imagine. I mean, it sounds like one of those things that he would do because he just needs money.
Right.
I can't imagine it'll sell any tickets.
I don't know. We will soon see. I will keep...
Not ever. Mm.
Okay. I'll keep my eye on that. But that is April 1st. It's Caesars in Atlantic City, right. If you are out that way. Kevin, you know I like to have at least one Kevin James story per week on Showbiz because of your love for him. Last week, we found out he was doing a Netflix comedy special. That was good news. Well, it looks like Kevin James and Leah Remini will be together again for the two-part season finale of Kevin Can Wait. Right? Remember them? They were on that show together, and he was all, hey, I'm
King
a UPS guy. And she's like, hey, I'm his wife. Right. How'd this happen?
Yep.
So they will be together again. Turns out they were both partners in a police department investigation in which they played, wait for it, husband and wife. So part one of the two-part season finale is scheduled for Monday, May 1st. So mark your calendars, Kevin.
Not interested.
For some Kevin James-ness. Let's get to some birthdays because we want to hear from you in just a bit. Mariah Carey is 47, Nathan Fillion 46, Brenda Song is 29, singer Jessie J is 29, singer Fergie is 42, and director Quentin Tarantino is 54. I'm Allie McKay in for Ralph Garman, walking the Showbiz beat.
Thank you, Allie. You said we want to hear from you, and we do. We're going to open up the phone lines right now at 1-800-520-1067 for your telephone calls. It's time for Kevin and Bean's What's Good. What are we looking for first-time callers here, Kevin?
Anything that's exciting that maybe we're not talking about, we haven't covered, anything in the news, anything in your lives. We're problem solvers as well.
Yeah, we give great advice.
Right? Mm-hmm. So people can call on that. Any topic, 1-800-520-1067. You call, we'll talk to you next.
Listen to K-Rock all this week for your chance to win tickets for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness Saturday. I slurred that, didn't I?
Yeah.
I don't April Foolishness know this Saturday at the Shrine Auditorium. Tickets are on sale now with proceeds benefiting Fisher House and Cedars-Sinai NICU. We hope we will see you there on Saturday. Get the details at krock.com. First, though, how about your phone calls on any topic with Kevin and Bean's What's Good? 1-800-520-1067. Hit it, Steve.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify. What are we missing and not talking about? Call up, so we could be down. 1-800-520-1067. What's good?
What's good?
I went full Kevin there for a minute. You never go full Kevin, right?
Right.
All right, let's start with, why don't we start with Kevin? He's in Garden Grove, and he is on line 5. Looks like he just got back from Las Vegas like we did, you guys. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, guys. What's going on? Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
All right, so, I went to Vegas this weekend at the Sapphire Club. Lost about 2 G's over there.
I'm sorry, you went to a strip club and you, quote, lost $2,000?
Okay, let's just say spent.
Okay, good.
In a couch? Where'd you lose it?
Now, let me ask you, Kevin, before I hear why you're calling. In retrospect, I'm sure you had a phenomenal time there at Sapphire. In retrospect, do you feel like you got $2,000 worth of entertainment out of it?
Not at all, because I blacked out, dude. I only remember getting one lap dance.
Oh.
Yeah, $2,000 is a lot more than a lap dance.
Yeah, that's a sad story, then.
Were you with a big group of friends?
Yeah, well, actually, I was with a group of friends, but only 3 of us went to the strip club.
Okay, but did you put your credit card down before you passed out? Maybe that's how it's $2,000?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, Kevin.
Yeah.
Kevin, don't be dumb, Kevin.
Every group of friends needs a Kevin that they can pull a fast one on.
Living up to your name there, Kev Dog.
All right, so what do you need? I understand you need some help from us. What can we do for you?
Well, I mean, I was thinking I was just going to quit drinking. So, I mean, what's your advice on this?
Well, let's not get crazy.
Don't be stupid. Come on now. Come on. Don't be ridiculous.
Okay.
Just drink one drink less. That's all.
One. Right. Good advice.
Stop one early. Thank you for the call.
Let's try Aaron. He's in Los Angeles, but apparently is visiting from Tacoma, Washington, of all places.
All the way from Tacoma.
Hey, Aaron. Are you? Is this the first time you're hearing the Kevin and Bean Show?
No, I'm actually a longtime listener. Grew up in Southern California, and I listen to you guys via the podcast now that I moved up to Washington. So.
Super nice of you. Thank you.
Want to take a second to say, honestly, podcast listeners, awesome.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate that.
Yes, thank you.
If you need a Dumbwall correspondent, just let me know, you know.
All right, so what can we do for you today, sir?
All right, I had a question about etiquette at a restaurant. I got into a little debate after going out to dinner about tipping. And I was wondering if
Did you say tipping or did you say kissing?
Tipping.
Okay, all right.
All right, what's your question?
All right, so the question is, when you tip X percentage, 15, 20, whatever it is, depending on the service, is that off of the pre-tax amount or the after-tax total?
Pre-tax. Yes.
Is that unanimous?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, because the thing about it is, you know how they give you those percentages sometimes at the bottom of suggested if you want to tip this?
Right.
Mm-hmm. They're not always calculated off of that amount.
I see.
It's about 50-50. And that's how I got into this.
So you're saying sometimes they're using the wrong number to put those suggestions down below.
Right.
I gotcha.
It gets more complicated if you get, like, let's say, like a dessert or an entree or something, or have a coupon.
But you don't tip less if you get comp something.
No, you tip based, obviously, off of what the service they provided you on the whole meal. Mm-hmm. But those numbers at the bottom get messed up based on that.
Hey, Aaron, here's my thoughts on this. Just tip. It's not that hard. Make a number.
Yeah. He wants to tip an appropriate amount, though. I think that's
fine,
reasonable.
Good. Just tip. It's not. Seriously.
All right.
Just tip.
I thought you were calling about kissing etiquette, and I was so into this, but it was tipping.
Very different.
Thank you for the call. By the way, just as a quick aside, and then we'll go to another call here. I went to see my dad while we were in Las Vegas this weekend. Because, you know, ain't no part of like a Cracker Barrel party. Yes, so I went to see the chief. So I took a taxi cab from the hotel where we were staying, and thanks again to the link, out to where I met my dad at the Cracker Barrel. Mm-hmm. This was so strange. I got in, and I gave the guy the address where the Cracker Barrel was, and he, instead of entering it into some sort of GPS equipment or knowing how to get there, he says to me, oh, do you have GPS on your phone? And I said, yeah. And he said, okay, you just give me directions on how to get there.
Nope.
Maybe his phone wasn't working?
I don't know. He made me be sure to give me plenty of advance notice which turn we have to make or how far out we are. So I'm having to play navigator in the cab on the way there.
Dean, how long was it till you said, you want me to drive too?
I didn't say that. But the reason I bring it up now is based on our last caller. So then when I get to the end, I pay by credit card and it gives me the opportunity to give the man a tip. And normally I always tip 20% on a cab ride. I just do. I felt like that he didn't really earn that this time around. If I had to be the freaking navigator, was
I
wrong?
You stuck it to him?
I did. I totally stuck it to him. Yeah.
You robbed him?
Am I a bad man for not tipping him, feeling like he was asking too much
work?
But
you didn't tip him at all?
I didn't tip him at all.
Oh, Bean.
I mean, if you tip 20%, you can toss the guy 10%, for God's sakes.
Didn't you think that was inappropriate for him to ask me to play navigator?
Well, it's not that difficult.
You should have just said no. Nope. You do it.
Again,
your job.
It's not that difficult. This is not a problem.
No, it wasn't that it was difficult. I just want to know if you think I was a bad person for not tipping him because he made me play navigator.
Yes. I think you maybe tip less than usual, but still tip.
All right. You want to take one more? You want to talk to one of our listeners in Tennessee? This is going to be Emmanuel in Tennessee on line 5.
Hey, Emmanuel.
Hey, guys. How are you guys doing?
We are good. Thank you.
This is our new segment, Kevin and Bean Across the USA, apparently.
Yeah, about 3,000 miles or so, man. I think it's quite awesome, you know. I just got up. It's like 11 o'clock here.
Oh, F you so much.
Thank you too, man.
did you used to live in Southern California? That's how you found out about the show?
No. My wife just got on the internet and went to radiofinder.com or something like that and wanted to experience, listen to something else. And
you stopped on ours?
Yeah, she did. I was having a cup of coffee, actually, because, like I said, we just woke up, and she threw it in.
You are rubbing that in quite a bit. What kind of coffee was it?
I don't remember.
I think Kevin is suggesting you're getting off on a tangent. But the point is, you discovered the show just fooling around on the internet, and you've been listening to us for how long now?
I just tuned in. I'm a newbie.
Oh, this is like literally the first day?
Yeah, absolutely.
That is terrifying pressure for us.
Yeah, it's a shame because yesterday's show was great.
Oh, we were
yesterday
so was good so on good. Sunday.
Saturday?
Yeah.
We brought it.
Too bad I missed it.
Yeah, we used to be the best.
I will tell you guys, I did go out to California many years ago.
Mm-hmm. Did you fly or did you drive?
Kevin, do not encourage him, please.
I rode with my dad on the truck.
With your dad
on the
truck.
What's your dad's name?
How long have you been driving the truck?
Emmanuel, we're glad you called.
It's
we're
an
glad
American
you're listening.
Made truck. Or...
Thanks so much. This has been What's Good?
What's Good?
A lot of what you're about to hear lies, and I just want to put that out there right up front.
Really?
I just want to say that people at this radio station lie, and they will lie to you about what happens in Vegas. Just
okay,
put that
well,
out there.
We'll see if that's true. It's Kevin Abid Show on K-Rock, 106.7 KRQ. We'll talk to the great Hank Azaria coming up in minutes. Kevin's referring to the fact that we were all in Las Vegas together for the singles party. We had a party in Caesar's Palace with a bunch of our listeners. And by the way, if you are one of the listeners who was at that party and you want to join us on the conversation, we'd love to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. I know I said this earlier, but I have to say it again. What a nice group of listeners.
So, you know, this is Bean who doesn't ever leave his house and doesn't ever interact with listeners.
That's, right. I don't.
That's almost always the case, Bean.
I don't care for people,
right.
As you know.
True.
Not a fan. Not a fan of the humans. But I'm telling you, I had so many conversations with so many of our listeners that were satisfying.
Right.
I'm going to go so far as to say they were satisfying.
Wow. That sounds great.
Yeah.
Would you go so far as to take the leap to fun?
No, okay. There was nothing fun about it. I didn't enjoy myself, but I tolerated it well, I thought. And I was really, really impressed with so many of our listeners. They were really like super nice people and they bonded so much. You know, sometimes you're in an event that's a singles event. We've been lucky. This hasn't happened a lot to us at our singles parties, but you get the impression that people are just kind of standing around and just waiting for somebody else to do something. These people were really interacting a lot with each other, and I guess a lot of that is probably bonding on the bus.
Yeah, I think a lot went down on those buses.
Yeah. So people really kind of already had friends when they got there. I mean, at one point, like 15 people showed up at once at the party. They'd all been pre-partying, you know, at somebody else's room before they came down to our party. So, I mean, you really got the impression that friendships were made. Did you get the impression there was much hooking up going on?
I don't think so.
That's a lot of lap dances.
I think there were a couple couples that were hooking up because they lied and said that they had met on the bus, but they were married.
All right,
so that's something.
Look, that guy has to go that far to get sex.
That's what I'm saying.
Good on him.
Congrats.
Right.
Speaking of being picked up, though. Chip, mm-hmm. How many times were you picked up at the party on Friday night?
Literally pick up.
Yeah, five or six times.
What's that about? I know you're a wee lass, but why do people feel the need to literally lift you off the ground?
I don't know, but and I usually am not a fan of being picked up by strangers. But it was a party.
Well,
everyone had a good time. Plus alcohol.
I don't think anyone would be a fan of being picked up by strangers.
Yeah,
but you had a drink or two,
or four,
right,
or five,
sure.
But, dudes just randomly just pick me up.
That was crazy.
I think they just look at you and go, hey, look, she's tiny.
Yeah.
I bet I can lift her.
Right.
Pretty much.
Chip did photobomb every single listener's pictures, though.
So I hope the listeners, like, the next morning are going through their pictures and they're like, oh, God damn it, Chip.
Chip is a photobomb ninja.
Mm.
I mean, I just was watching her work and she'd walk over. She'd sense a picture coming and just be over in place.
And I'm also not above, like, climbing on a chair
of course.
To make sure I can get in.
Well, that's the only way to get in the picture.
Allie, did you notice that Kevin and Bean both were wearing their big boy pants?
Not only big boy pants, but, like, nice sweaters and nice shoes. You guys, I was very proud of you.
I wear what I have to. So if I I texted Dave back and forth shorts,
right.
And he'd go, no, at least jeans, dude. Now
right.
Right, but shorts?
Nope.
No, at least jeans. And then we ended up going to Calvin Harris. I was glad because you would have had to have that attire to get into the club. So
you guys both look like big boys.
Let's talk to Lauren. She's in the Woodland Hills. She's on line one. She was at the party. I remember Lauren. We met her on Friday night as well. Lauren, how are you? How was the rest of your weekend after I said goodnight Friday night?
It was good. How about you guys?
Very
Calvin
good.
Harris.
Oh, we had a great time.
I have Marie on the phone, too. She was my guest I brought.
Oh, okay. Hi, girls. So, Lauren, what did you think of the caliber of the other Kevin and Bean listeners at the party on Friday night? Because I was really impressed with them as a group.
Yeah, we had a blast. It was the bus right there was awesome. And as soon as we got off, Beer Mug, that was my first time meeting him.
Oh, no.
He was already a drunken mess. He was so fun.
He was so smashed after that ride. Wow.
Yeah, he was a mess.
He doesn't remember meeting you for 1 second. I'm sorry, Lauren. That's just the case.
Except for at 2 in the morning in the lobby when he recorded me.
Yeah, he won't remember that either.
Lauren, how do I ask this question?
Did you show your boobs on the bus, Lauren?
I did.
Was that your question, Bean?
That was exactly my question.
And, that was a great move, Allie.
How did that happen? Was it a dare? Was it a bet? What happened?
I don't know. We're all pretty drunk. I don't really remember, but
okay.
I think
all
one
right.
of your K-Rock guys dared me to do it. And
I mean,
I don't say no to a dare.
Right. So you did the right thing.
All right.
I don't find fault with this story at all.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Well, I'm glad you came. I'm glad you had a good time, and thank you for calling in. We appreciate that. Let's talk to Marissa real quick. She's in Montebello. She's on line two up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
All right. Hey, Marissa.
Hi, party people.
Hi.
Hey. There.
So I was just talking to Beer Mug, and I was just telling that I loved the individual conversations I had with each and every one of you. So I got to talk to Bean first, and of course, he is taller than me. I'm like 5'2", and he was telling me I think I'm about the same height as his wife.
Yes, that's
yes,
true.
I also married a little person, correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, I just talked to him a little bit. Of course, I talked to Allie. I met Christine. I talked to Beer Mug, but I want to say the highlight was probably meeting Kevin, just because he flipped off just me and my friends, and it was, like, the best thing ever.
That's how Kevin says hello to
that's
people
That's how
now.
I say hi.
Yes, but I think mostly because I was telling him how he is so wrong because baseball is the best sport ever.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, he disagrees with me.
Yeah, because that's a ridiculous thing to say.
He was right.
I was right to flip you. You mean I flipped you off then?
You flipped me off then.
Oh, I stand by that 100%. Yeah, because baseball, baseball blows.
I deserve it.
Yeah, it's, how dare you.
Marissa is a huge Kings and Dodgers fan, so we've got to respect Marissa for that.
Okay, fine.
Yes.
All right.
Thanks, Allie.
You're welcome, Marissa.
Marissa, glad you came. Let's take one more real quick because it sounds like something funny happened to Patrick. He's in Santa Clarita. He's our final call on line four.
Hey, Patrick.
Hey, how we doing today?
We are good. How are we doing today?
Well, you know, I was like you. I made it into work.
Okay.
Are you still drunk?
Well, we'll just put that as a non-disclosure.
It said here that you talked to Beer Mug off air and said that you left Las Vegas and then had to go all the way back. Is that right?
Yeah. You know, we just about got on the freeway. We did a head count, and it was like, we didn't even know, and they called us. And they're like, come back and get us, please. A couple of listeners didn't even get there on time.
Oh, they missed the bus. I see what you're saying.
Oh,
okay.
I see.
Wait, you're the bus driver?
No. I was on bus number 2.
Oh, thank God, because you sound wasted.
Right,
really. I was very concerned.
All right, well, look. Usually the policy at K-Rock is if most of the people make the bus, that's close.
Yeah, what kind of head count is that?
We shoot for about 75%, and then we're happy.
Close enough.
It's close enough. Patrick, thanks for going back for them, and thanks to everybody that showed up for this party. It was a fun time.
I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Hank Azaria is a goddamn national treasure, am I right?
It's fair. Very fair.
I mean, considering he's on the phone, what am I supposed to say?
Well, you agree with me because it's the truth for my entire lifetime, not only being Moe and Apu and Chief Wiggum and the comic book guy and so much more on The Simpsons. He's done so much more in a long and varied career. He's won 6 Emmys, a Screen Actors Guild Award, and no one hates Ray Donovan more than he does. Ladies and gentlemen, Hank Azaria back on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. How are you, sir?
Good. How you doing, boy? You packed a lot of information in there, a very small amount of time. But you're right. I am a national treasure who is Ray Donovan.
There you go. See, I knew I had it. The reason Hank is on the phone is because he has a new show on IFC, which is going to premiere on next Wednesday, April the 5th at 10. And it is a show called Brockmire. And I have to be honest, Hank, and I don't want to throw anyone from IFC under the bus, but until we got the pitch for you to be on the show, I hadn't even heard about this. So I don't feel like they're doing their job getting the word out that you're back.
Well, now several people are going to get fired.
Excellent.
Way to go.
Excellent. Way to go, Bean.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm going to put you in touch with the families of the people who
are. Oh, now it just got sad. Well, Hank, you play Brockmire on the show. Tell our listeners who you are and what you're about.
Jim Brackmeyer is a baseball announcer, the old school kind, who sounded like this for reasons that I don't quite understand. This was the generic baseball voice. It was also the voice that sold you the Ginsu knife and the Ronco products. I don't understand why these men spoke this way, but I wondered, do they speak this way when they're having sex, when they're high on drugs, when they're arguing with their girlfriends? And that was one of the basic comedic premises of Brockmeyer, and we were off and running from there, Kevin.
And by the way, Hank Brockmeyer does do his own play-by-play through his life. He does announce his life, and some of it is very, very sad, but that makes it very, very funny, I think.
Brockmeyer, yeah, he calls anything, pretty much anything. Ooh, the old fastball sign makes it. Like that.
He is a Major League Baseball announcer who falls on hard times after a meltdown in the booth, takes a few years off, and then comes back and starts up from the bottom, I guess. I mean, I can't even tell. That would be something below single A, whatever it is that Brockmeyer is calling in Pennsylvania, right?
That would be Independent League Baseball, which is another word for basically just sort of a freak show, essentially, a carnival freak show. And, he starts calling these games, and he's, at this point, it's 10 years since his meltdown, public meltdown, and he doesn't realize, but he's become viral. He thinks everybody's forgotten, but essentially now he's Winnebago man. He's a great top lady. Everybody knows who he is, and he's calling these terrible games, and basically wants to kill himself. He's highly alcoholic and drug addicted and sex addicted. There isn't a problem he doesn't have.
So. I'm glad you actually very nicely, Hank Azaria, set me up for the clip that I wanted to play from the show. I think this is from maybe episode two, where, yeah, your guy wants to kill himself, and Amanda Peet, who's so lovely in this, as she is in everything, she plays the owner of the team, and she's trying to talk him out of committing suicide, and here's how that exchange goes. And this really gives you an idea of the rhythm of the way Brockmeyer thinks and talks.
Personally, when I stare into the gaping yawn of oblivion or whatever you were talking about, I ball my fists and take a swing.
Well, hey, good for you.
If you're going to eat a bullet, so be it. Nobody here is going to stop you.
Well, no. I love naps, so it's pills with a bag over my head for me. Might even draw a little smiley face on the bag. Add a sense of whimsy to the proceedings.
Whatever way you want to do it. Sounds great, but if you go, you're going to miss a hell of a season.
Well, we'll find out if that's true or not.
Oh my God, it's so good!
How great is that voice, though? Was it hard for you to come up? I mean, I know that's your job, Hank, as you're the professional. You're the guy who comes up with lots of voices for lots of characters. But did it take you a while to find that guy?
No, quite the opposite. That's a voice that I grew up with, like in the 70s. That's one of the early voices that broke through for me that I got fascinated with, and I was like, do these guys just always sound like this?
Was there one in particular in your city where you lived that you used to listen to, or is it just
it's got kinda some euchre in it?
There's some euchre in it, but no. You know, I sent these episodes to Bob Costas because I had an instinct he might love them, and he actually called me. He did, and he identified it correctly. It's distinct in its indistinctness. It's the generic baseball announcer voice.
Right.
It's so vanilla. It's so just plainly what it is. It almost doesn't exist. It's just like white noise. I don't even know what it is, but men my age find it comforting. I don't know why.
All right. We're almost out of time with Hank Azaria talking about his show, Brockmeyer, which premieres next Wednesday, April 5th at 10 on IFC. I have to ask, because as an actor, you do so much sex and drugs in this show. Fun, challenging, disturbing. How do you approach days like that?
I don't think he's really doing.
No. But I mean, you have to. Okay. But you have to act all okay. That. I'm saying
I was almost completely high or drunk every
okay.
second.
All right.
And I'm extremely wasted right now.
Excellent.
So those are just.
It was a lot of recall, a lot of emotional and physical recall. In a way, it was a role I was born to play. I spent my life preparing for it. And again, part of the fun. You know, I had a guy. Well, I'm going to cross-reference now a lot. Snake from The Simpsons. You know, toe dudes, totally.
Yeah, right.
He's based on a guy I went to college with who was wasted quite a lot, who would always report on his being wasted. Like,
right.
Oh, man, I'm totally seeing colors now. And Brockmeyer, you know, he likes to give play-by-play on everything, including on how he's wasted. So that was
sure.
Another thing I found funny about the characters. Just, you know, does this guy, when he's just done much too much, cocaine, does he start describing what it's like for him?
And the answer, of course, is yes.
Yeah. It's a tour de force performance by Hank Azaria, and I really think you guys are going to like the show. Again, it's called Brockmeyer, Wednesday, April 5th at 10 on IFC, and we're really excited to have you back on our TVs, Hank. And when's Ray Donovan coming back, too, man? That's been gone too long.
Ray Donovan, they usually come back in July, and this season I'm not involved.
Why are you breaking our hearts as we say goodbye?
I won an Emmy and everything, and I'm like, what do I have? Do I have to win an Oscar to come back?
That's odd, right?
I thought there was finally going to be some sweet revenge for your character.
I'm pretty sure that he will eventually come back. It just didn't work out for this coming season.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Well, we'll look forward to that. We'll look forward to Brockmeyer. It's always a pleasure to catch up with you, Hank Azaria. Thanks for the time today.
Thanks, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 8:51.
Allie is in for Ralph Garman for another day with the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday morning. What's going on? What's new?
Hey, you guys. Saturday was the big memorial service for Carrie Fisher and her mother, of course, Debbie Reynolds. And apparently it was just a beautiful, beautiful event. According to The Hollywood Reporter, the 90-minute ceremony featured montages set to music by Star Wars composer John Williams and highlights of their careers, intimate family photos, interviews, humanitarian work. R2-D2 showed up. The Gay Men's Chorus of Los Angeles came. They sang True Colors. And an original song by one of Fisher's closest friends, James Blunt, was played during a photo montage.
Wow. I missed that. I hate to miss a good funeral.
I know you do. I know you do. Also on hand was Carrie Fisher's ex-fiancé, Dan Aykroyd, who spoke about his former love and told a story about he once saved her life when she nearly choked on a Brussels sprout. I would like to hear that story,
because
I can't imagine how funny it was with him telling it. But this quote from Todd Fisher, of course, Carrie's brother, Debbie's son, is just, ugh. He said, when Carrie died, my mother decided to change her plans a bit. My mother always said to me, I never want to go to my daughter's funeral service. I'd like to be buried with Carrie. I didn't know she was going to leave us that very next day. And when she looked at me to ask permission to leave, she said she just wanted to be with Carrie, and she closed her eyes and went to sleep. It was a beautiful exit.
Wow.
So I imagine, as hard as it is for your sister to die, then 24 hours later, your mother dies. There's a beauty to that, and there's a calmness to that, because that's what she wanted.
Yeah.
I can't imagine Debbie Reynolds living without Carrie. So as hard as that is, that had to be at least a little comforting knowing they were somewhere, hopefully together. Right?
I would think so.
I sort of agree with you because we all watched that documentary about their relationship, and they were
beyond
so close.
In tune with each other.
Yeah, they were soulmates. So.
Yeah, absolutely. So good times, you guys.
Good times.
Good times. Speaking of soulmates, you were a big Orange is the New Black guy, right, Bean?
Yeah, love that show.
Well, remember Poussey on the show?
My favorite character on that show.
Mine as well, Samira Wiley. Well, she married her girlfriend, Lauren Morelli, who is also, I believe, executive producer and a writer on Orange is the New Black. But they got married over the weekend, and Martha Stewart Weddings had the exclusive. And they said that the brides love funfetti cake, and the entire bash was based around that sweet treat. And they entered the reception to Justin Bieber's baby. But here's what I'm going to say about these two. They showed a picture of them. First of all, Samira in this beautiful white gown. But Lauren Morelli wore a pantsuit with a cape, and now all I want in life is to wear that damn pantsuit with a cape. But both apparently were dressed by Christian Siriano. I mean, they look stunning. But a pantsuit and a cape, you guys.
I mean, really? I'd wear that.
Right?
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think you would.
I would.
But I'm glad that Poussey has a happy ending. Because if you watch season 3...
Yes. Happy ending in real life, not so much on the show.
Wow. So sorry about that. So, so sorry. Netflix has picked up not one, but four more movies from Adam Sandler, making it a total of 8 movies, which will appear on the streaming platform. They love Adam Sandler over at Netflix. His first two films were 2015's Western spoof The Ridiculous Six and last year's spy comedy The Do-Over. But now Rolling Stone magazine reports the next one will be a Hollywood satire called Sandy Wexler, which will be out starting on Friday, April 14th, and feature cameos from Chris Rock, Conan O'Brien, Judd Apatow, and others.
So he just isn't making movies for the theater anymore.
I guess not.
They're Netflix exclusives.
Yeah.
That's an odd business model, but apparently I think he
makes
for both of them.
I think he makes them relatively cheaply. So.
I think he makes them relatively cheap, makes a ton of them.
Mm-hmm.
And why not do it for Netflix, who, let's be honest, they are handing out money left and right over there.
They are.
It appears. Speaking of money, Beauty and the Beast came in number one at the box office this weekend. For the second week, made $88.3 million.
What?
It's hard to wrap your head around that number. Second week, $88.3 million.
Especially when you consider Josh Gad's in it.
Josh Gad is the best, and how dare you? How dare you? Coming in at number second, a debut with $40.5 million was Saban's Power Rangers, followed by Kong Skull Island, Life, Logan, Get Out, Chips coming in number seven, debuting at $7.6 million, followed by The Shack, Lego Batman Movie, and The Belko Experiment.
Chip, you saw The Belko Experiment. Did anything happen to you that stood out?
I got carded.
Yes.
Yes. Because it is a rated R movie and Chip is eight.
Yes. I thought Chip was like 30. Am I confused here?
I am 30.
Well, you could look 16, maybe 15.
Easily.
You're so lucky. Seriously, it kind of pisses me off. Some music news for you guys. Who wants a tour with Scorpions and Megadeth?
I mean, I don't think I'd go to it, but I think that's a pretty good double bill for people who are into that
kind of
music.
So you're not against it happening?
You'll allow it? Okay, well, good. Then they will continue this. It's a 16-date trek called the Crazy World Tour after the Scorpions' 1990 album. The dates begin September 14th in Reading, Pennsylvania, and wrap up on October 15th in Tampa, Florida. Is it Reading, Pennsylvania, or Reading?
It's Reading.
Good. I was correct. Also, some music news. Motley Crue is close to a deal to turn the band's 2002 biography, The Dirt, Confessions of the World's Most Notorious Rock Band, into a movie. The project, I remember hearing about this, like, early 2000s. Remember?
Yeah.
Johnny Knoxville was set to play bassist Nikki Sixx. Deadline.com says that Netflix is now very interested, so the film is now in development.
Hmm.
But in 2003, when Johnny Knoxville was going to play Nikki Sixx, maybe not so much now?
Yeah, I doubt it.
I doubt it, too.
You would have to make a change to that.
Absolutely. And something for you ladies out there. If you're looking for something to do April 1st and you're anywhere near New Jersey, boy, do I have something for you. John Gosselin has just landed a new gig as an exotic dancer.
Yes.
The father of eight will be strutting his stuff down during a show called Untamed Male Review. Word is he'll be stripping down to his undies. He's training hard and will make his grand debut, like I said, April 1st, which also happens to be his 40th birthday. That poor guy. I mean,
I don't know that poor guy. That he's part of that John and Kate plus eight or whatever that show was. They were both terrible people.
I think she was so much more terrible.
I'm
and
not
then
positive.
Okay, then. So you're going to go?
Absolutely. I'm going to make it rain.
Good Lord. Some birthdays for you guys. All of these stars born on March the 27th. 27th.
It's the 27th, yes.
God, we should have gotten the Monday after singles party off, is all I'm saying. Singer Fergie is 42. Actress Brenda Song is 29. Singer Jessie J is 29. Mariah Carey is 47. Actress Polly Perrette is 48. Nathan Fillion is 46. And Quentin Tarantino, 54. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
You can listen to K-Rock all this week, and you should, for your chance to win tickets to our Kevin and Bean April Foolishness show this Saturday night at the Shrine Auditorium. Our friend Bill Burr is on the bill, along with David Koechner and Jimmy Pardo, Adam Ray, Jonah Ray, the great Taylor Williamson, and Angela Johnson, who, by the way, is going to be joining us in studio tomorrow here on the Kevin Minch is also very, very funny. Tickets are on sale now. Proceeds benefiting Fisher House and Cedar Sinai NICU. So if you don't buy the tickets, you hate the military and you hate little kids. So I want you to think about that before you make your decision to go to AXS.com, okay?
That's some tough words there from Bean. Yeah. Some tough love. We are doing an opening act contest, and we announced the five earlier, and this the first five. These are the second five. This is Ron G. from Culver City, and he's talking about what his mom says when she wants to curse.
She has an acronym for all her favorite curse words. So instead of saying B-I-T-C-A, she'd be like, birds in the chicken house. Instead of saying S-H-I-T, she'd be like, sugar, honey, iced tea. Y'all need to spray up in here. Smell like sugar, honey, iced tea up in this bird in the chicken house. I can't breathe. Instead of saying F-U-C-K, she'd be like, I don't give a flying, ugly Chinese kick. What's going on? It smell like sugar, honey, iced tea. Y'all need to spray up in this bird in the chicken house.
That's a lot to keep track of right there.
Right? Next is Aiko Tanaka.
I have a hard time saying the word Pedialyte, so I call it baby juice. I was at the market and asked the guy, where can I find baby juice? He took me in the back.
See, because he didn't...
See, I get that.
Understand.
These are we're going through the top 10 finalists of comedians who want to be the opening act for April Foolishness at the Shrine, and then we're going to invite you to go to Carrick to come and vote for your favorite.
Brandon Vestal is next from Sherman Oaks.
Getting pretty tired of tequila companies trying to convince everybody that tequila is smooth now. I heard that enough. I was like, sweet. They must have fixed it. So I tried some next time I was out. They haven't done anything to it. It's the same nasty water it's always been. I don't think they should legally be allowed to tell people that tequila is smooth. Tequila, in my opinion, is the least smooth drink that you can drink. That's why there's so many distractions when you drink tequila. You don't just take a drink of tequila like you do anything else on earth. You got to do all this other stuff. You got to lick this and suck that. What are you trying to hide, tequila?
He goes on to say, the next morning nobody says, wow, you were really smooth last night.
Right.
It's just a lie. Here's Brian Whitaker from Hermosa Beach talking about women in movies.
A lot of you ladies in here might not even be old enough to get this, but they didn't used to let you ladies do anything in action movies, okay? It used to be if a lady showed up in an action movie, she was there to have sex with the hero and then ruin the goddamn movie. It'd be a whole movie of this awesome male hero just having a ball, ripping everyone's nuts off. And then out of nowhere, as soon as he's about to kill the main bad guy, some dumb broad he plowed 20 minutes ago just pops up like, stop!
Okay. So that's Brian Whitaker. And then there's Jason Webb from Los Angeles.
Have any of you in here ever found yourself in a romantic situation with someone you're not sexually attracted to? I found myself in that situation recently. I was watching a sunset with my dad. And he looks over at me. And he says, it's beautiful, isn't it? And now I've been around the block a time or two. So I can tell this old bastard's trying to f***.
You can see video from all 10 finalists. And by the way, we're down to 10 now, but I do want to thank everybody who participated by sending in their – we had some very funny people. We had too many to – we had to eliminate some to get down to 10. So it's a good problem to have. There are a lot of very funny people out there. So which one do you like the best? Just go to krock.com or kevinabean.com. You can watch clips from all 10 of our finalists. You've got today, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday to vote. And then Friday morning, we'll call the grand prize winner who's going to be opening the show on Saturday. And you can still be there in person if you want to buy the tickets. It's axs.com. Well, 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 938.
I appreciate that move, Kevin, because it would be easy to take for granted the great Red Hot Chili Peppers song. And you wanted to make sure that we enjoyed it right to final beat.
Thank you for noticing. Finally.
Don't step all over the artistry is what
right.
Kevin thought.
Thank you.
As he got up after the song was over.
I was letting people listen to the song. That's what I'm about.
Yeah.
Don't insult our friends in the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Chip says okay.
Okay. Allie Zipper, Ralph, time for one more look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Dave, the King of Mexico, came in.
I don't like this tone of voice.
I don't either.
And he handed me a piece of paper and he said, I'm really sorry, Allie. And
News that's going to be disappointing to all of us or just perhaps you?
Just people that care about greatness.
All right, I'm going to take a guess. So I have no idea what the story is, but I'm just going to take a guess because I see how sad Allie is. I think it involves
the butt.
Peaky Blinders being its premiere of its next season being pushed back.
No, They are actually filming right now. Thank you for mentioning that.
Because they're that would have devastated
you. Yeah, that would have hurt me to my core. But this might be worse.
Might be worse.
Peaky Blinders being pushed back. Because push back means they're still filming it.
All right, I'm going to go crazy then and say Adele is retiring. Because that would put you in a straitjacket.
That would put me in a straitjacket. This Adele news
just breaks my
heart.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah, not retiring. However, last night in Auckland, New Zealand, she played her final show of the 25
and now,
tour.
A breaking news bulletin.
Thank you, ma'am. By the way, people at the party made me do that live. So last night, her final show of the 20.
And now, breaking news bulletin.
All right. Thank you. Final show of the 25 tour, singing for 40,000 fans in a torrential downpour. And during the show, she said this might be the last time she hits the road. Yep.
And now breaking news.
See, I kind of said it right there. As
I didn't
the music
hear it because...
Was, yeah, because the music.
Yeah.
So she said this might be... This might be the last time that she hits the road.
And it's over now.
It's over. Yeah. She said, speaking between songs, she said, quote, touring isn't something I'm good at. Applause makes me feel a little bit vulnerable. I don't know if I will ever tour again. The only reason I've toured is you. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if touring is my bag.
Why?
May I go now?
That's what I'm saying, Rodney. Why?
First of all, she's wrong. She's great at touring.
She's amazing.
First of all. Right,
she's
but that doesn't mean she feels like that.
Right,
but I'm saying she's wrong. She can't, everybody who goes to Adele's show goes away satisfied.
Yeah.
Okay? She's really, really good at touring.
But she's got stage fright. She has anxiety, that kind of thing.
It may not be fun for her.
No.
Second of all, this is how she feels after having an incredibly busy 6 months where she's traveled all over the world and done 100 shows. Let's give her a little bit of time off and see how she feels the next time she has new music that she might want to go out
with. Yeah, it does feel like people at the end of this cycle get tired to death of whatever it is.
Yeah, I always think about Daniel Craig when they asked him the day after he finished the James Bond movie when the next one is. And at some point, you just want to be like, all right, I need a little time off.
Remember when he said never and then he ended up on our show because of it?
Mm-hmm.
So I had to do press for it.
Oops.
Right. Did I say never? No, I meant I loved it.
So you're telling me to let this breathe?
Yep. Yeah. I wouldn't sweat it at this
point.
Okay. She's a young woman with a lot of great music ahead of her, and I bet there'll be other opportunities to see Adele.
Okay.
It's going to be okay, Allie.
All right. I'm very up for becoming her best friend and hanging out and drinking and just hanging out.
That sounds
like she wants to do that.
A one-way thing, but okay.
I mean, if people that know her are listening, just call me.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
I can day drink. I bet Adele day drinks. I would guarantee she day drinks. We can hang out with her kid while we're drinking.
Right.
Like have someone else there, possibly, to watch the kid.
Well, that sounds like a good plan.
I bet we know she loves burritos. She talked about the best burritos she ever had. Mm-hmm. We could have burritos and just hang out.
You could drive her around and have her sing to you a la carpool karaoke.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine? That would be the best ever.
I just wish my brothers were alive to see this.
Where are they?
They're all dead now.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dorothy. I miss Dorothy. Where has she been? According to Rolling Stone, Snoop Dogg will induct his late friend and Death Row label mate, Tupac Shakur, into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame during the ceremony on April 7th in Brooklyn. Tupac will be the sixth rap act to enter the storied institution following Run-DMC, Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, the Beastie Boys, Public Enemy, and NWA.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Mm-hmm. You didn't mention Alex Trebek.
Sipping on gin and juice. Laid back with my mind on my money and my money on my mind.
I mean, he's not in as a rapper yet?
No, not yet, which is a shame because he is straight rap. I love him. TMZ.
They mad, they ain't famous. They mad, they still nameless. But we still hood famous. Yeah, we still hood famous.
Honestly, if you were writing for that show, wouldn't you make a rap category
every night.
single show?
Yes.
That would be awesome.
I think it's my second favorite thing next to him saying, like, French terms, and he gets so snooty about it.
He always over-enunciates every foreign word.
Ridiculous. ridiculous. Well, TMZ has reported that Snoop and potentially Dr. Dre could participate in a musical tribute to Tupac, but the all-star lineup for the tribute hasn't been finalized yet. So we will await that news.
That'd be pretty cool.
I'd be in, right? Also in for this, big news over the weekend in Hollywood, Colin Farrell is in negotiations to star in Disney's live-action remake of the 1941 animated classic Dumbo. He would play a widowed father of two kids from Kentucky, and the film also stars Eva Green and Danny DeVito, with Tim Burton's already signed on to direct the film. That's just weird. Tim Burton, Dumbo, Danny DeVito, then Colin Farrell. I love it. All of it just makes up
bizarre.
A bizarre pot of oddness.
I don't know anything about the Dumbo story. Is this an elephant who's a pet, or an elephant who lives in a jungle, or what's Dumbo's story?
He turns into a monkey.
Yeah. And then Belle, she has to make him fall in love with her, and then she becomes a princess. Right.
I think that's the movie that's out now. That's Beauty and the Beast. This is a future Disney remake. But I just don't know the Dumbo story.
I like that he turns into a monkey.
Okay.
Because that didn't happen to Beauty and the Beast either.
All right.
But you're sticking with it. Something I really actually liked. Arnold Schwarzenegger going in on somebody on his, I believe it was his Facebook page. Usually celebrities will post something, then just not even look again.
Right.
Just all the comments. Well, he posted something. He went home to Austria for the Special Olympics World Games last week. Posted a video with the inspirational athletes on Facebook. And some a-hole chimed in that the games make no sense and then topped it off with basically saying the R word.
Yeah.
So Arnold got back online and said he'd leave the stupid and evil comment up, but warned the person that they have two possible paths ahead and guaranteed that the athletes have more, quote, courage, compassion, brains, and skill, actually more of everybody. I should have read this first.
No, it's going well.
They have more courage, compassion, brains, and skill, actually more of every positive human quality than you. He then finished by encouraging him or her, couldn't tell by who posted it, to give back and challenge yourself or stay your path and, quote, keep being a sad, pitiful, jealous internet troll who adds nothing to the world but mocks anyone who does anything out of small-minded jealousy.
Wow.
Boom.
Well said.
Suck it, guy or girl who wrote that. What's wrong with people?
I don't know.
Call us now if you know.
1-800-5- We don't need calls.
No? Okay. Nope. All right.
Let's not wrap at all. This up.
I only do that because it makes Chip chuckle. All these stars born today. On March 27th, director Quentin Tarantino is 54. Actress Polly Perrette, 48. Singer Mariah Carey, 47. Actor Nathan Fillion, 46. Singer Fergie is 42. Brenda Song is 29. And singer Jessie J is 29. I'm in for Ralph Garman. I hope he's back tomorrow because this showbiz beat is tiresome.
I hate you. My listeners hate you. And remember that scumbag forever.
Thank you, Alex.
On your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning, the L.A. Dodgers manager, Dave Roberts, joins us. We also have...
It's time for Dodger baseball.
We also have comedian Angela Johnson, who is on Foolishness with us. And we have your tickets for Foolishness as well tomorrow morning.